This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details. Mark Dolan and Katie Price on FUBAR Radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's Tuesday, the 22nd of July. The time is 10 a.m. and you're listening to FUBAR. The UK's largest unregulated ad-free radio network. It's a radio revolution and you're part of it. I'm Mark Dolan, and as always, today's show will be highly news-reactive with 3 hours of the biggest stories being talked about around the country and across the globe. We've got top guests, our live social media centre, and our in-studio rolling news feed, so if anything happens on the planet, you'll be the first to know. You can contact us at FUBAR Radio, email dolan at fubarradio.com. On today's show, we're joined in the studio by Caroline Millington from Now Magazine as we dive headfirst into the crazy world of showbiz. We speak to a leading nutritionist as parents panic that their children are eating the wrong thing. Yeah, no shit, Sherlock. And we'll be talking to a top psychiatrist who's developed new research that says our addiction to our iPhone and our iPad and all those other iDevices is killing our kids and us. But of course, that is just the warm-up, because the main event, the star of the show, is sitting in front of me, resplendent in a very, very attractive outfit today. This is a woman who is dynamic, who is all about change. She changes her hair. She changes her body. Sometimes, she changes her men. And now, she's changing radio. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I give you for the next 3 hours, unregulated, unedited, ad-free, and certainly uncensored. If you are of a sensitive disposition, switch off your radio now. This is Katie Price! Woo! Katie, I am so thrilled to have you. The sun is shining and the sun is actually pouring out of you today. You're looking golden. Your eyes are sparkling. How can you possibly be almost about to have a baby? I don't know how you do it. Welcome back to FUBAR Radio, your spiritual home.
Yes, I bought the sunshine. I love it. It's going to be a great show today. Love it.
Can't wait. We're going to be so busy. We're going to need your help at FUBAR Radio. Do give us a shout. It's about to kick off in every sense of the word.
Mark Dolan and Katie Price on FUBAR Radio.
Well, the time is 10:06 and the price is in the house. I'm not just buttering you up, right? I'm not being nice. You do look great. You look really, really well still. We don't know. It's a very grey area as to when you're going to have the baby. We don't have a date, do we?
Well, I've got a date that I'm booked in for my C-section, which is literally like a few weeks.
Yeah.
But because of my operation I had about 8 weeks ago, it can happen anytime.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And you just don't know. Because I can't remember what the drill is. I've had two. And if you're more likely to have a longer pregnancy for the first one, and then they fly out quicker thereafter. Is that true? Is that the drill?
Each pregnancy I've had has been completely different. But I should be on bed rest, really.
Yeah, you should.
But how can I? It's like I've got too much to do. So at least I know if the baby is born now, it will survive.
Well, absolutely. And listen, we're very, very excited on your behalf. And you look fantastic. And we've got 3 hours, an amazing show today. We're going to talk showbiz. We're going to talk about our addiction to smartphones and iPads and everything else. We're also going to be talking about nutrition. So it's basically mind, body, spirit. That is the show today. What we'll do first is quickly take a look at the headlines and see what's happening
headlines in
the old world. And it's all pretty horrible, actually, lovely Katie. First of all, front page of the Daily Mirror, payday sharks send 1,000 texts to suicide dad. A payday loan customer who killed himself over his £20,000 debts was sent a string of texts hounding him for money after he died. Poor tragic Ian Jordan, who was 60, took an overdose as he struggled to cope. His ex-wife said he got 1,000 texts after his death. Some were cash demands. Absolutely horrific. They've definitely got to clean up that payday loan industry.
Yeah.
It's got to be regulated, hasn't it? And you know, some sort of help for people who are absolutely struggling.
Yeah, I mean, lots of people take out loans and stuff, and then there's interest on them, and then people end up with these massive debts and they can't sleep at night.
Correct.
You know, and it's, unfortunately, lots of people do have to take out loans and stuff to pay for things. But like I say to people, don't try and live above your means. Lots of people on council estates, I know because some of my friends are there, they've got every single gadget going.
Yeah.
But it must all be on HP and stuff.
Correct. Yeah, yeah.
Which it all looks good, but at least I know I sleep at night, you know. It's one of them things.
I agree. I think, you know, I think I mean. I think actually I've sort of always had a definition of wealth.
Yeah.
And to be rich is to not have debt.
Yeah.
Actually.
It's true.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, yeah, you might just have £50 to your name, but if you don't owe anyone anything,
it's such a nice feeling.
Do you know
feeling.
What I mean? That yeah. is, that's key. So I think it's probably a big hangover from the recession when people are struggling to pay the bills and they took out these loans. And what I think is the government should have a department in which people who are struggling, who can prove that it's not because they're just going down the pub and getting drunk every night,
exactly,
but that they really do need help. I think that's what the government is for.
But surely don't people, when they take out a loan, They should suss in what income they've got to be able to see if they can afford it. And there should be some kind of rule that, well, actually, no, because you're getting yourself in this much debt.
Correct.
You're not actually leaving yourself anything to live on.
You're absolutely right, because I think in this country we're addicted to debt. It's still easily available.
Yeah.
And it's frightening how easily people can get themselves. It's like quicksand, isn't it? And the more
yeah.
the more debt you accrue, the faster you sink into the quicksand.
Yeah.
So we'll have to watch that one. But I think, you know, there's an election next year, and I think that should be firmly on the agenda, is helping people. But we are so indebted. Okay, so my good lady wife is German. And the Germans do not have a culture. I mean, obviously, people get loans and mortgages
yeah.
and stuff, but they don't have a culture of it. It's not normal to borrow money. Right? It's,
yeah.
it's against their. So, for example, the majority of Germans rent. They do not buy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They have a renting culture, and people rent fabulous homes, and it's no problem. It's not like because you're not doing well
yeah,
financially.
Yeah, yeah.
People
I didn't
rent.
Know
my
that.
My brother-in-law is a high flyer in the tech world, mobile communications, all
yeah.
that stuff. And he just rents a gorgeous 5-bedroom house.
Well, lots of footballers just rent as well, don't
they? Yeah.
But I think because they change teams and stuff, they don't buy, they rent. I mean, in this country, I would always say to people, try and get a mortgage or something, because the rent is so expensive and it is dead money. And it's, you know, but then again, some people never get to pay their mortgage off. So you can look at it both ways.
Yeah, that's
can't
right.
You?
You're kind of renting from the bank rather
yeah.
than the landlord. I mean, I think the difference in the continent is that there are really strict rules about the rights that people who rent have. And also because everyone rents, the rents are quite low. And
yeah.
that's the thing. So, but, you know, obviously it's a British thing. We like to be on, we like to have, you know, to own our own property. It's a big, thing in our nation, isn't it? A big
I
aspiration.
I think so. Yeah.
Also, yeah, front page of Daily Mirror talking about aspiration. George the First, Prince George celebrates his first birthday with a trip to see the butterflies. Very sort of stage managed photographs of, you know, Kate Middleton and Prince George and William. But they look like a lovely, happy family.
They do.
They're
they
gorgeous.
Absolutely
the three
do.
Of them are gorgeous,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
I think, I wonder whether, because I like William, he seems like a real gentleman.
I do like Harry, though.
Harry's, that's it. I think William's great. He needs a makeover, doesn't he?
Well,
he looks like he's wearing a sort of open neck shirt. He looks like a lawyer on holiday.
But he's happy, isn't he?
Well
and put him on a polo horse, and, you know, they could both play polo well, and that's good enough for me.
Too right. Well said. Front page of the Daily Mail, gently George, birthday prince, and the butterfly. Young priced out of a home. Funny enough, we were just talking about the mortgage
yeah.
market, the property market. The number of young home buyers has plunged to a record low. A tiny 3% of house sales last month were to those aged 18 to 30, down from 12% last August. So that is shocking. So that means that young people are not getting on the property ladder, and that's bad for our society.
Well, it is. Years ago, I remember I got my first mortgage when I was 18.
Wow.
And nowadays, like even my sister in her 20s, you know, she works, but it's impossible to get a mortgage, or they have to have this massive deposit to put down.
Yeah.
Who really has this massive deposit,
correct.
Really?
Correct.
So,
no, it's...
Because it's so expensive to live over here, and the wages that they get, it's hard for them to save, isn't it? Unless they have absolute no life.
Correct.
And just save it.
I don't know, as a person who you've got a stake in the housing market. I believe you just moved. Have you moved in yet?
No, I've got to find somewhere. Yeah.
Oh my god.
I know.
That's the Katie Price way.
I know.
So are you out of your current place? Have you just sold it, but you're still in there?
Yeah, I'm on prime location, right move everywhere, looking for somewhere.
All right, guys, do you want to sell your lovely, pied-à-terre to Katie?
But I like to buy something that I do up, just because I always, not just to do up to make money, because, I'm not one of these property developers. But I always believe, even if you buy a brand new house and it's got everything, you always want your own touch to it.
Correct. And the what you'd like, if you buy some beaten up, dilapidated place with horrible 70s wallpaper, that is a dream. Because when you go somewhere that's got, when the estate agent tells you there's a new kitchen and there's a new bathroom, you are paying for that.
Exactly. And not only that, I'm going to learn my lesson, because the amount of houses I've bought had interior designers and that have come in. And I'm like, yeah, do what you like. And I pay them this massive amount of money. I'm not going to do that this time. I'm going to be more sensible and have fun of finding a house, what
do
needs work, and live in it, and then find out what I really want.
Yeah. So do it, make it like, there'll be a lot of pink then, I'm guessing.
Do you know, nothing pink is in any of my houses. Mind you, Princess's room, but she doesn't like pink anymore, she says.
Oh.
So this new baby can adopt
pink. Maybe she's overdosed
pink.
Do you think she's
got
pink OD?
Yeah, I think she
OD?
Has, yeah.
And maybe, does she want to go her own way? It's like, mummy's all about pink, so I'm going my own way on this.
Yeah, I mean, I love pink, but nothing is pink in my house, which is odd, because people think I'd want a pink house. Apparently my Range Rover sold this week. I got an email from a girl.
Which is the most iconic car since,
I love that car.
God knows what, because it was, it was part of your identity, wasn't it?
It was. Inside it had all Diamantes and stuff, so I'm glad it's got a new home.
Weren't you a bit crazy driving around in a pink Range Rover because everyone knew it was you? In terms of like just popping to the supermarket, was it a bit of a headache? Did you have other cars that you could just, because you know what I mean? It's like, there's Katie Price's car.
I don't know what it is about me. At home, I've got like a pink Beetle as well, because when I went to Toys R Us, Barbie had a pink Beetle.
Right.
And I thought, right, I want a life-size one of them. So I've got one. It's got like Lamborghini wheels and all of this on it. It's about 7 years old. It's only done about 6,000 miles. But I absolutely love it. Every summer, occasionally, I take it out.
Is it a soft top or a hard
top?
Yeah,
soft top.
A soft top VW Beetle.
Yeah, I love it.
They're great cars.
I absolutely love it. Although, it's weird. I can drive a Range Rover and park that and whatever, but I can't park the Beetle because of the bonnet. It's rounded, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's got no parking sensors, and you can't judge.
You don't know where the car stops.
I'm useless at parking it, but I can do a bigger car.
I know. I think if you did it all the time, you'd get used to the sort of geometry of it.
But the pink colour, I did it because I thought, when I'm older, I should look stupid. Maybe I look stupid anyway, but it's just me.
Never.
I wanted a pink car. I wanted to pimp it out. So at least I can say I did it.
And never get like, you never lose it when you're going to IKEA and there's 8 million cars. You just have to come out and you're like, there it is over there.
The thing is, I did get spotted everywhere in it. So
so that was the only
thing.
But
I am tempted to make my Bentley pink.
You're not.
I don't know. I'm so tempted.
Pricey.
And everyone's like, Kate, don't ruin it. Just don't.
That's great. That's a windfall for the body shop, isn't it? The Body Works guys.
I want something different.
They are gonna,
yeah, if there's anyone out there who can do a proper full body kit, pink, and pimp my Bentley
out.
Are
you ready to go pink on the Bentley?
I would so do it. And inside
and out. What colour is it at the moment? Is it white?
White. It's white and white and navy inside.
And you obviously chose white. Why didn't you? Was pink available?
They just said to me it was the newest one out. It'd only been out 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So they said, you won't get any better Bentley than this. It's got everything on it. I said, okay.
But and they said it has to be, you can have any colour you like.
But don't look inside my car, because everyone who comes to my house, they're like, Kate, have you actually washed the car? Have you seen the state of it inside? And I'm like, well, it's lived in, that's why.
Yeah, but that's all right.
Magazines, bottles of water.
No.
I'm terrible,
real.
I know.
The little sweet packets.
Yes, that's
I
me.
I know the feeling. My kids have like banquets in our car, so it's absolutely...
It is, it's lived in. I know some people are like, no, you should look after it. It's not because I don't look after it, it's just, it's lived in.
Yeah, but you know what? These devices, the car, whatever, it costs quite a lot of money, and therefore it works for you. I don't understand this taking care of these things that we've already forked out for. It's like, no, this is... Even my laptop or whatever, I just chuck it around because
it's bad. It's not because I don't appreciate it. It's just,
but you don't want to be one of those people who washes their car every Sunday. That's the opposite, and that's just
weird.
I know,
and I could get valeters up, but
although I do think if you were to wash the Bentley on a Sunday, it would probably appear in the papers.
Well, they got to see me,
depending
so I'd do
on
it
what
on the
you
driveway.
Were wearing.
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, I tell you what, funnily enough, you won't believe this, because front page of the Sun newspaper, Stevie G, let Rue be the new captain. That's about the departure of Steven Gerrard, and he wants Wayne Rooney to be the new captain. We've also got crony war, tyrant Putin's pals targeted over billion stashed in the UK. This is the fact that a lot of wealthy Russian businessmen, the oligarchs who are worth billions, may face some kind of sanction from the British government, which will affect their assets, which could be a huge story and have huge global implications. And also at the top, an interesting story, the headline, it says exclusive day three, Katie, I don't know which Katie this is, I could throttle Kieran, but I still love him. OMG.
Oh, well, I know.
Well, I tell you what.
I've had three
fire.
Days of it.
Now, what I'm excited about, Katie Price, we're going to play a record and we're going to talk about this. First of all, just before you came on air, you said, what were your thoughts about you wrote in the papers?
Yeah.
And I said, it was great. Now, when I said great, it was terrible. It was horrific.
Yeah,
I couldn't
read
it. It was like a bloody Stephen King novel, what you've been through, the horrors of it.
And that's just some of it.
But it was great because I was just proud of you for being so honest and so upfront, as you always are. And it just proves how interested everyone is in, you know, this story. What I think is it has ramifications for all of us, because you've had relationship issues there. And do you know what? We all do. Everyone does. And I think it's very helpful in your position, because, you know, when you get these lists like 100 most powerful women.
Yeah.
I bet you're always on those lists.
I'm normally the bottom of whatever list
you
is if I make a list.
Never. You should be at the top of it, because when you speak out, like you were talking about cervical screening the other day, just to pluck something out of random, boom, you know, the press covered that. It was a really big deal.
But you know,
a couple
I have
of the papers.
To say with the press, okay, because I've always had this love-hate relationship with the press.
Yeah.
For what? How many years? Nearly two decades.
Yeah.
And I'd actually like, for once in my life, to thank all the magazines, all the newspaper, all the media. I really want to thank them very, very much.
Right.
Because they've actually done me a massive favour by naming and shaming Jane Pountney and Chrissy Thomas all over the UK for what they are, whores. And I'm glad, because I'm in a powerful situation where I've got the media and I'm able to name and shame them and everyone will know who they are. And I can only thank the media for that.
Now, in particular, because I thought the stuff in The Sun was compelling and honest and outrageous. There's some hope there as well. It culminates. It's day three. Is today the final day of
the
interviews?
It is, but it's difficult for me because I've lived it all. Even though in the news, where there's still more bits I want to put in, but everyone said, Kate, because you know what's happened, but the outside people would get the gist of what's happened. It's like, yeah, but can they put this in, that in, this in, that in? So thank God I've got a book coming out next year that I could be more detailed about everything.
But also, it's funny this, because you get up at God knows what time you get up to come here to FUBAR Radio, but early, in the early hours,
yes.
And you do a huge commute from West Sussex. And I just wonder whether, you know, I really enjoyed all of the articles in The Sun that you did. I wonder whether FUBAR is particularly good for you in terms of like expressing, you know, what you want to say. There's no one kind of editing you. How does it feel to be able to go on like FUBAR Radio and just speak and not have one, you know, down your throat saying, sorry, you can't say that?
See, this is the thing. I've said to like Andrew, the guy that does all my stuff with me, and my brother.
Your management team, yeah.
Yeah, and I said I'd love to actually do an interview, because when you do like a newspaper article, you can't see the emotion, you can't really, you know, they just put in what they want to put in.
Just
even though
words.
I've done an interview, they put in the bits they want to put in.
I know.
But there's so much more, and so much more I'd like to explain about everything, because in people's eyes, all they see is, oh my God, Kieran's cheated on her, two of her best friends. What the hell is she doing? Why isn't she fucking him off? Why is she like keeping him there still? So no wonder that lots of people are saying, oh, it's a publicity stunt, this, that. I can guarantee you this is not a publicity stunt. This is real life. This is what's happened. And I needed to talk about it. It's not about wanting publicity for it. It's like a closure for me. It's like therapy for me, because it is that bad. It really is. And like I say to people, I haven't been able to turn to alcohol. I'm not on any tablets. I'm heavily pregnant and I'm just learning to deal with it.
In a strange way, that gorgeous, scrumptious
and I'm like,
that little creature that's sleeping within you at the moment kind of saved your life, I guess.
Well, it did,
way.
But then I've got other kids, so I wouldn't go down that road anyway. But it's amazing how strong.
But it did force you to look after yourself.
yeah, it's amazing how strong you have to be, you know. And, you know, this is real life and I have to get on with it. You know, there's a long way to go yet. But like I said to you before we came on air, I can talk about what sex addiction is. I've got some notes here because I don't think people, they have different views about it. But like I say, it's like a drug addict, an alcoholic and a sex addiction. People will always have different views on things. And in the beginning, you know, I was ready to divorce Kieran. I was, because I was like, shut up. He's just a young guy who obviously just wanted to put his dick in whatever. Mm. But now I've learnt more about it. That's sort of, I don't know, it sort of helps. Because I always thought, did I do something wrong? You know, we had a healthy sex life. I know I put on weight and stuff, but I now know it was nothing to do with me. And if it wasn't my friends, he would have found someone else.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you've got actually a lot of stuff which you weren't able to put into the Sun column because that was, and this is FUBAR, this is your platform. So we'll have a little, we'll touch on that. Before we get to some of the other papers, let's have a little bit of closure. And because, funnily enough, this is a very topical show and it's very news reactive.
Yes.
And you're in the news, so I'm afraid we have to talk about it.
That's okay.
Mark Dolan and Katie Price on FUBAR Radio.
It is FUBAR Radio. The time is 10:29 and we're going through a lot of stories in the papers. Later we'll be talking about nutrition, particularly kids' nutrition. Also our addiction to digital devices, smartphones is killing us. And we'll be going Showbiz Central with Caroline Millington from Now Magazine. That and much, much more. But Katie Price is in the news at the moment and as always, frankly. But over the weekend, it was an exclusive with the Sun newspaper and it started in the Sun on Sunday. If you haven't read it, I highly recommend it. I tell you what I've got, which I love, is the Sun app, the Sun Plus, which is very, very good. It's worth the money, actually, because you get all of the previous editions of the Sun all stacked up on your tablet. So here I am. I've got Sunday's Sun here on my iPad. Kieran had sex with two of my pals. I'm pretty sure I landed a punch on Jane's face and knocked out half her front tooth. That was on Sunday. Monday, they had sex in my bed as I lay alone in hospital. I feel bad reading this out in front of
you,
Katie.
Oh, no, it's fine.
Pal's affair laid bare. And here we are today. I could throttle Kieran, but I still love him, Katie. So look, that's all well and good. Brilliant. You've opened your heart to the Sun newspaper. They've covered what you said very authentically. But there's more. And I get the feeling that what it is that you're interested in is this sex addiction issue and what the hell it actually means.
Yes, because when you hear about sex addiction, to me, I thought, no, I don't believe it. That's just an excuse for someone to go and shag about, basically.
Correct. We could see, everyone could say we're addicted to sex, just like you could say you're addicted to chocolate or something.
Yeah, but then when you get a drug addict, you know that they would do anything they can. That, you know, you get some people that steal anything to pay for that drug. They need that adrenaline.
Yeah.
An alcoholic, they'd be like, okay, I'm not going to drink anymore, but they go and hide it somewhere in different places. And it's the same kind of thing with a sexual addict. They will risk anything. They will risk their family, their friends, because once they're in that zone, this is like what Kieran had. It's not that he wanted Chrissy or Jane, it's just that they were so easy, so available, that it was easy for him. So basically him texting them was like the heartbeat, like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get it.
Yeah.
And then it was the actual sex. So if you think of the actual sex to like a heroin addict, as soon as they inject, it's like, oh, I've got that feeling I want.
Yeah.
And then they get the come down, and then he would have the come down. That's why he would come home really quiet, sort of moody, because he felt really bad afterwards. They all have the same pattern.
The regret. Probably in his head he thought, I'll never again. And then a week later he's back on his phone.
I said to him, when you was texting and stuff, did you not ever think of me? He says, no, all he wanted was that adrenaline. So like I said, but why would you do it in my house? How fucking dare you do it in my house? And he said, I suppose, like the therapist said, because it just built that adrenaline even more because it was so wrong.
It's a buzz.
So they need to keep that adrenaline going. I suppose like with a drug addict, if they get, you know, they're used to, I don't know, a dosage, then that doesn't become enough. They want more and more and more. So I suppose like with Kieran, he would risk different places to make it more of adrenaline. But what pisses me off is my friends haven't got this illness and they willingly opened their legs and let him do this. They knew they were in the wrong. But obviously, Kieran has got this problem.
Yeah, and do you think that this problem existed before your relationship? Has he told you that previously he's been unfaithful to girlfriends?
He's never, ever, ever been faithful to any girl, to the point that even if he was with a girl, he'd still be texting other girls, sending pictures, they're sending pictures. Right. He's just, that's why stripping for him became a dangerous job for him, because it fed him more, but it was easy because he had all these girls. Things have happened to him in the past, which I never knew. I only came out through therapy. Not saying it's an excuse to why he's done this, but when you read all about sex addiction, there's all different things to why people do it.
Well, he's had traumas in the past,
yeah.
Has he? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And so has that helped you? I mean, has this... have you been to therapy together? Have you been to see someone and talked it through, or is just
he's
he
in
been?
Therapy... He was in, like, in the beginning of it, like I say, in the sun, a guy flew over from Gibraltar. And this guy normally deals with murderers, paedophiles, rapists. You know, he's gone past the general therapy. He now deals with people like this. And because my therapist, obviously I met her when I had postnatal depression with Junior years and years ago. That's how I stayed in contact. Mm. She knew this guy, so flew him over. He doesn't normally... would fly over.
Wow.
And he even said at that time, I can't help you because you're not helping yourself, you are a compulsive liar. That's how bad Kieran was. You would say, like, if something was black, we all know it's black.
Yeah.
And he would say it's white. He would convince himself that much that it's white, and he wouldn't care that we would say, but it's black, what are you on about?
Yeah,
that's how bad he was. But now it's been 12 weeks on. You know, he's been doing all therapy, everything right, getting the homework. He's a completely different character person.
Yeah.
But now, that's how I knew about Chrissy, because I didn't have to bring the lie detector in. He told me, yeah. And he looked up. His eyes weren't gone, you know. So therapy is definitely working. He's going to have therapy for the rest of his life.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Even if it boils down to, like, once every 6 months and... You know, it gradually gets
keep it,
less
you know
and
what?
Less.
Keep it going. Keep it weekly. Keep it monthly, I think.
But, you know, I can only try. You know, I'm, 36 now. I'm not a kid anymore. I've lived my life, and I have to think, you know, my kids love him so much. They're obsessed with him.
Yeah.
And he's such a good family guy that he's not only shocked me, he's shocked his friends, his family, because we just don't understand that Kieran has done. We just don't understand it at all.
Yeah.
It just does not make sense.
Do they
this
know?
Man,
do they know that he's been naughty, the kids, or is it just like you've had a big fight?
The kids know everything. They're not silly.
And how do you feel about that?
But we never
you try to shield
the
them from that.
We never argue. We never argued before, and we still don't argue now. Like, people would walk in our house and think, "No way has this happened," because we just get on so well. This is why I know that he had a problem, because it's just out of character for him. He's like a Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
But I could definitely say, I know it's still early days, but he's definitely different.
That's really good.
It's long term. And what am I supposed to do? Just throw away a marriage and hurt my kids? And, you know, I've got an unborn child. And
I think staying with him.
I have to, you know, help him. You know, my vows, even though he's broken every bloody vow, I'm sticking to mine. And, you know, through sickness and health, I can only say I have to try. And he is proving it. And even the therapist says, Kate, there's no way I think he's going to ever cheat again. It's really sunk into him. As long as he sticks to therapy and stuff, and it gets less and less. And there's nothing to be ashamed of with it. You know, if you've got a headache or whatever, you take a tablet. You know, he's going to need therapy. But now he's understanding what he was like, and he hates himself for it. Like, these stories the past 3 days has broken him, because he's so ashamed of himself.
Which is good, because I don't want him to forget too quickly.
Oh, he won't forget too quickly, trust me. But, you know, we're getting on as a normal, like, family, trying.
I'm confident that if he stays on track and is very disciplined with his meetings.
Which he's doing. And I'm not forcing him. He's doing it out of his own way.
He shouldn't do that thing that, you know, drinkers do, alcoholics do, where after 6 months go, good, I'm cured, let's go to the pub. Do you know what I mean? He's got to stick with it.
No, you have to do it all the time. But you just have to keep having therapy.
I'm hopeful for you, and I'm confident that if he sticks with it, that won't happen again. Clearly, I really, you know, hope that, and I'm confident. But if it were, God forbid, to happen again, would he be straight out?
Oh,
or would you
God,
just go back to the therapist and start
absolutely.
All over again?
Absolutely, he would be gone.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't have wasted my time and effort for all of this if I genuinely didn't believe it was a problem. If I genuinely thought deep down he was just greedy and wanted sex elsewhere, then there's no way I'd be with him. I generally believe, because I haven't said it all, but I know about his past. I know, you know, there's lots of elements to it.
And the thing is, you're not an unfaithful type of person.
Not at all.
Have you ever, I mean, I don't want to, you know, ask you too many personal questions, but in relationships, have you been unfaithful occasionally in the past? Can you relate to what he did or
maybe
not?
When I was younger with Dane and stuff like that. I think when you're younger, I might have kissed someone or something. But, yeah. You know, you're not married, you haven't got kids. It's bit
he
different
was just like
when
a
you're,
boyfriend.
You know,
he
when
even,
you're younger, yeah. But when you're actually married and got kids, you know, and you do your vows, that's a completely different story.
That's it. I think people don't realise that about you. That although you are so, I don't know, you're very fearless and, you know, you're in the paper and sometimes you're not worrying very much. People think that you're quite a wild sort of character. But actually, in terms of marriage and traditional values, you're quite old fashioned, aren't you?
Absolutely. Well, I am old fashioned. And I believe, like I said, if you've seen the film The Notebook, that is true love. And I always, this is another thing. If you're in love with someone, no one else should get in the way. And this is what I've tried to say to Kieran. If you really loved me that much, why would you do this? He said, I couldn't help myself. I just couldn't help myself.
My friend of mine's parents, bizarrely, they were older parents. They were like in their 60s. And bizarrely, just, you know, after all those years of marriage, the father had an affair with a colleague at work. You know, they're in their 60s. Yeah. They're no spring chickens. And anyway, it was all a huge meltdown. Everyone was very upset about it. And they stayed together and he left. Obviously, he stopped the relationship, stopped the affair. And my friend said something which I found quite sad. He said, are they all right now, your mum and dad? He's like, yeah, he said. But he said the innocence has gone from their relationship.
Yeah.
Now, are there any... Do you feel like there will be scars? Can it ever be the same or is it different? And is that okay?
No, the way I describe it is, this is why I could throttle him, because things were so, like, perfect. Yeah. And obviously France came, and I kept saying in my hospital bed, I would cry to him, his mum, his friends, saying, why isn't Kieran at the hospital with me? I don't understand. And I would text Jane and say, Jane, is Kieran all right? Because I know he did his shoulder in. Mm. I'm like, do you want to ask if he wants to come and, you know, we'll have a takeaway and watch a DVD? So she never passed on the messages to him. I know this all now. So right. She was playing.
She passed on a few other things, though, didn't she?
Yeah, exactly. Opened her legs wide. And but because what upsets me most is I knew something was going. I knew it. And everyone said, Kate, it's your hormones. And Kieran, till this day, says, do you know what, Kate? Because even with this other one, because when he did the lie detector test and they said it was another woman, I just knew that I knew her. I said, there's definitely no way I don't know her, because if it was a random person, she would have done a story. And why wouldn't she do a story? I said, so I wasn't letting it drop. So then he just told me everything.
Yeah.
And then when I confronted Chrissy, I said to her, is there something you want to tell me? This was all in text message. I said, is there something you want to tell me? She goes, what? And I said, what do you mean, what? She said, what are you on about? I said, don't play dumb. She said, I'm not playing dumb. And then I said, fucking my husband is what I mean. She went, what are you on about? And because Kieran told me everything, that's why I said, well, in lay-bys, your flat and my gym, my house. And she wrote back, oh, I'm really sorry. But what happened? I was never going to name and shame her because she told me all the deal. I said, if you tell me everything, I won't ever say who you are. Mm. But she turned round and said to me, in a text, I've got it, when are you next due to see a counsellor? You need to see someone because your head's fucked. And that really insulted me.
Because
it's like, hang on a minute, I'm not ill. My head is fucked because two of my best friends have been fucking my husband, basically. So that's why I thought, you know, you've obviously have no respect for me whatsoever.
Correct.
So that's why I've come out and said it.
It so often happens in life with any sort of crime. And in a way, this is a crime. It's an emotional crime.
It's like torture, isn't it?
And you're the victim and the person who's perpetrated the crime, rather than immediately fessing up and going, oh, my God, it's a fair cop.
Yeah.
Do your worst, which is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
She's furthered the damage by making you feel like you're stupid. And in fact, you're the innocent victim, which is particularly cruel and maybe as bad as the act itself.
Yeah, the difference with Jane and Chris is Jane's married. She hasn't had sex with her husband for years. They don't sleep in the same bed. Her kids sleep in the same bed as her. But Chrissy, she'll even say to her, she sleeps with married men all the time. Even at her work, she was boasting. This was after Cape Verde, when I was telling her about Jane, even though she was sitting there, and she must have thought, oh my God, he's been with Jane and me, you know. And she says it out loud. There's a guy at work that who got married, it must be about 8 months ago, got a kid. She was on her way up to Scotland with him. She said she was giving him a blowy in the lorry. They were shagging the whole time they were up there on the way back. She does it with married men. And I said, but what about their wives and that? She said, well, it's not my problem, is it?
Right.
She said, I don't want to know anything about their wives. And that's what she's done to me.
Now, the last thing, because I don't want to put you through the mixer on this one.
Oh, no, it's fine.
You know, we're all ready to move. I want to move on. You want to move on.
Yeah, this is another thing. I know I've spoke about it all and everything, but I'm not going to have it as a downer on my life. I had to get it off my chest, literally. But now, you know, I just want to move away from it and just try and move on.
Correct.
And just like,
correct.
Because you have to.
And do you feel like, I don't know, just being on the radio, being on FUBAR Radio, you can just be yourself?
Well, I've explained a lot more. But what I would love to do is, if there is anybody out there who has been in Kieran's situation and they've been diagnosed as having a sexual addiction, did they come through the end of it? Are they going through therapy?
Yeah.
Is there anyone out there who've had relationships where it's worked? Or would anyone want to come on the show next week who had a real sexual addiction, who'd like to come and talk about it? Because I think it's interesting, and I'm interested in it because I'm living it.
Definitely.
And it
what
happens
we're gonna do,
all the time.
Producer Talia is with us. Hello, Producer Talia.
Hello.
And I do talk a lot, which is why I'm on radio.
Why we love you. Talia, could we put a bid in for like a top psychotherapist who's an expert in sexual addiction, the kind of person who treated Michael Douglas?
Absolutely.
Because it's really
and
weird.
And Russell Brand.
And Russell. Is Russell Brand a producer? Talia is a big... She's a big fan of Russell
Brand.
But
he still has therapy, doesn't he?
Does he?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's got an addictive personality, hasn't he? I mean, he's been on heroin and alcohol and everything. So he does everything to excess. But if we can get a bid in for that, and also let's trail this then for next week. If you are in a relationship and your partner or yourself, you've got a compulsion. It's a dysfunctional relationship with sex, isn't it? With everyone enjoys sex, but it's those people who use sex as a drug or an escape, isn't it? That's the difference.
Like he would say, he had different sex with me than what he would with them. With them, it was just quick, over, blah, blah. But like with me, it's completely
making
different.
Making love. Making love. And did you care about...
And longer than 5 minutes.
Did you care about the sex side of it? Or was it more the betrayal? What really mattered to you in that? Was it the lying or was it the act?
I think the main act is because I knew. I just knew because Jane had changed so much. I just knew and I couldn't put my finger on it because I never knew about Kieran. Because whenever I'd say it, he'd be like, oh, fuck off, she's old enough to be my mum. But he was telling Jane that Kate does know you fancy me. So I suppose me banging on about it to Kieran was feeding him more because he knew it was more bad to be doing it with Jane.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think all of it, there's nothing nice about it. I think the sad thing is as well, I'll be upstairs bathing my kids and they'd come up to check that I'm in the bath and then they'd go down and have sex. And then I'd come down and we'd all watch telly and Kieran would cuddle up to me on the sofa and Jane would be at the other end knowing they've just had sex, but yet he's there with his arm around me. Because when I went round her house, this was also in the sun, I think, she actually turned around and said to me, do you know what, Kate, I started hating you when I came up to your house. I said, why? She said, because you had my boyfriend. And I'm like, what do you mean your boyfriend, Jane? It's my fucking husband, not your boyfriend.
Yeah.
And then I said to her, why are you cloning into me? And she said, look at me, Kate. I'm nearly 50. Do you really think I want to wear these short dresses and thigh-length boots? I tried to be like you. She said, I just did everything. I'm in love with him. She was in love with him.
Was there any? Do you think there's jealousy where, because of your career and you're a wealthy lady and very powerful individual, young, beautiful, amazing family.
I'm not nodding my head because you're saying young, beautiful.
It's all
now
true.
I'm just like,
but do you think that part of this was just a way of trying to sort of tap into, like, just to get something for herself, like a jealousy?
Do you know what I think people do with me? Because I'm a really kind person and giving, I think people take advantage of my kindness. I know lots of people think I'm this feisty whatever, but when you actually know me, I'm completely different to like how the media portray
me. Is it hard for your friends, any of your friends, to take you know, the life that you have? Is it hard for them to cope with that?
And they get angry. They do get angry.
Friends who are just so, you know, I don't know, fellow celebs maybe, who don't have anything to be jealous about. Do you need just hanging out with, should you just hang out with Hollywood A-listers? Because then there's none of this small-minded, oh, look what she's got that I haven't.
Well, I've been scarred, you know. Two of my longest best friends have shit on me, basically. So it's hard for me.
Yeah.
But there's still a few left. There's actually two girls left who I've known long term who are still on the scene, and you know, and I trust that you haven't betrayed me. But you know, I'm up for making new friends again. But people do take the piss out of me because I am so kind and genuine and giving.
Yeah.
So.
But I think more for them for taking a piss, because I think your willingness.
But I will have the last laugh. Well, you will,
and
difference.
I think your willingness to get to your willingness to have this relationship and your risk of willing to get hurt again is crucial to the whole point of why we're all here. Is that we have to risk getting hurt. We have to. Life is dangerous.
It does make you stronger in a weird That's way it. When you get hurt. I mean, my heart has just been shattered into dust. That many pieces, that. I just have to be strong and get on with it, and I am. And I don't want to keep wailing on about it.
Well, that's
but
it.
I really want to hear if there's anyone out there who's had sexual addiction dealing with it, or they've come out the other end, but they're still having therapy for it.
Let us know, because what we'll do is we'll read out your tweets and emails at FUBAR Radio, dolan@fubarradio.com, and also we'll take your number and you can speak to an expert, which we're chasing for next week. Oh, look, I want to kind of, you know, draw a line under this now, Katie Price.
Yeah.
We've got a busy old show. So
we're onwards
kind of,
and upwards.
Onwards and upwards. I want to kind of lighten the mood. So after this record, we'll talk about Vladimir Putin.
Mark Dolan and Katie Price on FUBAR Radio.
10:56, Mark Dolan and Katie Price with you right through until 1 o'clock. You can tweet us at FUBAR Radio, dolan@fubarradio.com. And Craig has done just that. Enjoying the show, guys. Rachner has said, yay, fab Tuesday morning. Hi, guys. We've also got Craig said, fuck what everyone else says. It's no one else's business. You do what makes you happy. You're the main priority.
Which Craig's that? Craig Scott?
It is Craig Scott.
Ah.
Very nice. Stuart has said, good luck, Katie. Dara has said, it's so brave that Kate has spoken about this. Kerry has said, just signed up to FUBAR. Love, Katie. She says it how it is. Welcome to FUBAR, Kerry. Maurizio says, just downloaded FUBAR and going to listen to what Katie has to say. Welcome, Maurizio. Rachner said, it's your life and only you know what you feel. No one walks in your shoes, so who are they to judge? Love you, Kate. Wills has said, listening to FUBAR radio. Love Katie, she's a great woman, totally respect her. There's a lot of respect coming in your direction, young lady. Sarah Jane, I'll be your bestie, Kate, and I won't shit on you. I reckon we could be the best of best friends. That's an offer of friendship from Sarah Jane.
Oh, thank you.
Now, someone said to me years ago, I don't know, someone wanted to be mates of mine, and I wasn't sure. And someone else said, never spurn friendship if it's offered. Never
really?
Spurn it. And I thought, yeah, that's a good little thought there. Excuse me, Miss Watson, in the southwest of England. Lucky you, southwest. I've just come back from the Llama Tree Festival. Do you know of that? It's like one of those music festivals.
You know, I'm like with festivals. I think next year I've got to be up on it.
Oh, you've got to do it. When you hit Glastonbury, they won't know. They won't know what hit them.
I'll have to get in with all the music.
Yeah, it'll be amazing. Here we go. Let's have a look at this. It's quite a long one from Miss Watson. Hi, Katie. I've read your bits in The Sun and sounds very much like my childhood. My dad wasn't faithful to my mum all the way through their marriage, even with our next door neighbour when we were kids. My dad was high in the police force, and even with a famous person, my dad seemed like he may have been a sex addict. But worst bit was my dad's wife before he died. When they met, we were 15 and 13, and dad had us to stay when he wasn't at work. We had our lives threatened as we took time away from her being with my dad. Oh, dear. I grew up with issues, and when I was old enough, I looked for men to treat me like a princess, but I ended up being with domestic violence for most of my adult life. I miss my dad, but can never forgive him. He died 10 years ago. I can see how anyone who has cheated can be faithful again. My exes have all cheated. My fella now is amazing, treats me like his world. Reading your bits in The Sun made me cry because so like my dad. Please be careful, okay, and think of you and kids before Kieran, please. I don't want you to go through what I've seen my mum going through. Love to you and the kids. Well, that's quite a moving and very brave email to send. From Miss Watson, and I'm really pleased that you're now finally, and that's your story, Katie, is that you finally reached a point of closure and you're just moving forward and being very optimistic about the future.
Yes.
Joe has said, I've never understood the hate that Katie gets. It's not her who has done anything wrong, but still gets trolled. It's in my imagination, but I don't think you get a lot of hate in your direction, do you?
Oh, I do.
Really?
I get slated all the time.
Really?
And I don't understand why either, because I know if people meet me, I'm so different to what they say about me. I never understood it. I don't know myself.
Do you think that maybe stuff like this radio show will help people to get a flavour of the real you? Because it doesn't matter how many
newspaper articles.
Definitely.
I think when you hear someone talk, it's completely different. But then, you know, magazines each week, they write whatever they want. They put the worst picture in, made up headlines. There's one magazine this week and they reckon they know everything that happened in my baby shower, and they couldn't be further from the truth.
Oh my God.
It's like, you know, but I'm so used to it now. So I just think to myself, when people meet me, they can judge me then.
There you go. Will said I'd be Katie's friend, would never betray her. I've been with my fiance for 14 years. Kate, you should come to Tea in the Park. I've got an anonymous tweet there, but someone's saying you should hit Tea in the Park. Producer Talia, is that one anyone good?
I think so.
The Tea in the Park?
I think it's quite a good one.
Is that in Scotland? Is that in Glasgow?
Yeah, I think so.
Brilliant. We like a bit of that. Well, look, lots and lots of stories in the papers. Amazingly, do you know what, though? I mean, you are, Katie Price, you were a bigger story than Vladimir Putin this week. Which is saying something. That is going some.
I'm not proud of that at all, but it's the timing, isn't it?
It certainly is. But let's take a look at some of the other stories that are floating around in the papers. First of all, this is quite an interesting one, actually, which is basically a mother of two dazzles on a Spanish beach. How Sophie got red hot at 49 with her creamy skin, toned legs and impressive... what the hell is an embond point? Producer Talia?
What?
Oh, Jesus. It's no wonder Sophie Wessex drew admiring glances when she stepped out in a bright red swimsuit on a Spanish beach this week. As she approaches her 50th birthday, the Sloaney frump, who married a prince, that's a bit harsh, has disappeared. And in her place is a svelte and confident mother of two who's lost weight and isn't afraid to try daring new styles. Sophie Wessex, she's... She's a very elegant lady, isn't she? And she's very real and somehow, I think, a good sort of public role model, actually, as a member of the royal family. You don't hear a lot from her. She's not constantly spouting off about a variety of subjects. And she looks amazing, given that she's nearly 50, don't you think?
Yeah, and her swimwear piece is covered up and reserved and, yeah.
I think it's, do you know what it is? I think it's that thing where she's adapting, like how she looks or whatever, she's adapting to her age. That's the thing, isn't it? Isn't that what we've all got to do? You kind of just, you roll with it.
Well, yeah, you get some women who are older, but they dress mutton. Yeah. And they think that people are looking at them because they think they look good, when really you're looking at them thinking, what on earth are you wearing?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah,
that happens a lot.
I know. I mean, do you think, when you're 50, will you adapt your style and just tone it down a little bit?
Of course not. I'll be wearing my G-string on the beach.
Boom.
I'll be like that woman from Benidorm, all the sunbeds and that.
Love it. Philip Seymour Hoffman leaves his entire $35 million fortune to his partner because he didn't want his three children to be trust fund kids. Of course, you'll remember this
like
story.
That was like Brian Adams.
Oh, Brian Adams, really? Yeah.
Wasn't it, didn't we say about him the other week? Was it Brian Adams? No.
Sting. Yes,
that's the
Sting
one.
Wasn't, and that's right. Now, we know that Philip Seymour Hoffman died from a drug overdose. It was absolutely tragic. And a very wealthy man, $35 million, but he didn't put it into a kind of trust for his kids, but it's gone to his girlfriend, his long-term girlfriend, Emily
O'Donnell.
So I
haven't read the story, but what, he didn't put it in trust for them?
No,
or it's just because he didn't think he would die, so he didn't organise it?
No, he had a will. And he left all his money to his long-term girlfriend, Mimi O'Donnell, but he didn't want to put it in trust for the kids because he didn't want them to become trust fund kids, because he thought at the time that would screw them up.
But he didn't think that his missus would probably go off and meet a guy and then spend his fortune with them having a happy family. Like, I always think things like that. Why would you leave all your money to your other half?
Yeah.
Because when you're gone, what, you're going to think they're going to be single for the rest of their life? Of course they're going to meet someone and spend your money while you're in your grave on them having a lovely life.
Yeah, yeah.
You can leave it for your children, but you can give them time zones of how much they get at certain ages.
Well, I think in fairness, I would agree with you generally. In fairness to her, she's the mother of his three children. So, but you're still saying that there's some dude who's going to benefit the next.
Well, of course he will.
Yeah. Well, I think of a very boring reason why it's a shame that he didn't put it in trust. Because they're not married, she'll pay a lot of tax to receive that money. So she'll probably, half of that will just go straight to the tax man. And that's the main reason why it's a shame. But he really clearly, I mean, he's obviously a tragic figure and he died in the most tragic circumstances. But he'd obviously seen how it was for other celebs and their kids and how screwed up they were. And he didn't want that to happen.
Yeah, like I say, if you've got lots of money, or even if you haven't, but you leave money for your kids, like I know for a fact with myself, you know, everyone should do a will. I've done a will.
Yeah.
But you don't leave it for your kids to have. They certain ages, they can get a certain amount. Because otherwise, you know what it's like when you're young. You'll just go and blow it and be stupid.
Correct. So there's no win for them at 18 or 21. It's more of a gradual thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fine. And all being
that's
well.
That's when I'm going back talking about houses. And because, you know, if you're young, you'll probably want their latest car, the holidays and all of this to impress. It's only when you get older that you'll probably look back and think, oh, my God, why did I blow it? Why didn't I buy a house or do something?
You know, after all of your difficulties in relationships, were you all, by the time, you know, your most recent marriage, were you all sort of like really careful legally and prenups and all that? Were you very on that?
They don't really exist in this country, to be honest.
They're not what
they're
not
I mean, you
worth.
Can do them, but at the end of the day, you don't want to. It's horrible when you marry someone. The last thing you want to do is talk about prenups. They're not nice to talk about your assets and stuff.
Yeah.
But my view on it is, why would anyone want to take someone else's money when they haven't earned it?
Yeah.
Why? And it really winds me up.
And no, has no one ever tried to do that to you in the past?
What's that?
Take your money.
Of course they have.
Oh, they have?
Yes.
So you can't understand it, but it has happened. Yeah.
Both of them, yes.
Okay. All right. And you've had to fight and...
yes.
Yeah. Has that irritated you, having to write a cheque to some bloke who's...
Well, it does, because it's like, you know, you should be equal. Whatever you earn, you earn. Whatever I earn, I earn. When you're together, you share everything.
Mm.
But then when you go your separate ways, why be greedy and take the other ones or...
Correct.
Money. It should be just you go your way, I'll go my way.
Are you really telling me that there's no legal provision for...
I don't think it's that legal in England, no. I think you can have an attachment to it, but I don't know how much it stands in court, to be honest.
Did that cross your mind when you were going through all this horrors with your current husband? Did that cross your mind
about... Well, you like to think whether they're husbands or boyfriends, you always think, well, I hope they don't do stories and things like that.
Yeah.
And you always think, oh, no, they won't. And then... They do, because they always say, oh, I'd never do a story, blah, blah, blah. But then when it comes to it, this is another thing about like kiss and tells, what people do.
Yeah.
This is quite interesting, because you get some people who would do a story on someone, like a kiss and tell.
Yeah.
And they think they're going to make millions or thousands. And what the media do, they might say, right, I'll give you 50 grand cash, or I'll give you 50 grand if you tell me your story, what's happened with you and this person. So they do the story. And then they're like, well, there's not enough detail in it. We'll only give you a couple of grand. And that's what happened. Well, I don't do kiss and tells. Obviously, I'll do my books. But I'm just saying generally, because I know the media,
deals.
I know how it works. So people think, oh, yeah, I'm going to make money from this. And they don't. They end up walking away with hardly nothing. And was it really worth it?
Yeah, too right. Now, let's talk about Britain's most tattooed man, OK? He has silicon skull implanted in his chest and Jeremy Kyle inked on his head. This is extraordinary.
No.
Britain's most talented... talented, there's a Freudian slip. Britain's most tattooed man has done the unthinkable, had a silicon skull implanted in his chest. Inkland King Body Art, the Extreme Inkite. It's a hell of a name. He used to be just called Matthew Whelan before changing his name. And before the plastic surgery, the walking talking sketch pad admitted it hurt. The 34-year-old, who now goes by the nickname Bart, underwent the procedure at City Centre Body Modification Studio at Birmingham Inc. So he had it all done at Birmingham Inc. It is unbelievable. The silicon filled ball sporting a raised skull motif was pushed into his chest. In time, flesh will tighten around the lump, giving the impression of a ghoulish head pushing through his skin. It's quite a fun idea. It's the latest bizarre extreme procedure undertaken by a man who splashed out 30 grand to be inked from head to foot. No spot has been left untouched, earning him another cheeky nickname, the Artful Todger. He's also undergone scarification, a form of facial branding, and had his left eyeball, I didn't say eyelid, his left eyeball tattooed. Bart admits that it will be a year before the skull can be seen beneath his chest. It just looks like a lump at the moment. He began the three-hour op armed only with willpower, but wilted and needed help with the pain. Tribes go through a lot of pain, he said. You have a choice of a numbing ointment, but I started out without it. The incision wasn't too bad. I found it therapeutic. Oh, my. It just goes on and on and on. Producer Talia, I wonder whether we should put a bid in for this guy. Should we see if we can get him on the... Is he in the UK? You're allowed to speak. It's the radio. Why don't you give you a microphone?
Wasn't
first?
Up.
Sorry.
Yeah, we can try and get him. Is he in the UK?
Have a look. Yeah, I think okay, he is cool. actually. Birmingham is where he had the work done. First of all, that's bonkers, isn't it?
Well, I'm just looking at him. He looks older than 34, unless it's because it's black and white. But, oh my God, because I've had tattoos and I need like Emla cream on it. And even yeah. then, it still hurts. The what? Noises
your,
I make,
does
I
your
can't
tattoo
bear
still
it.
Hurt?
Oh no, when you have it done.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
It so hurts. So looking at him, all I'm thinking of is that must have hurt. But then some people's pain threshold is different. But you know, each to your own. But I'd love to know what he started with, why he wanted to cover his body. You know, it does fascinate me, people like this.
Yeah,
what did he look like before? What triggered it off? What? Why did he want to do it? And that skull thing he's had put in him. Who even thought of that?
Yeah, I mean, just imagine having one or two things put inside
but
your chest.
But then I have got silicone thingies.
That's it. I mean, I think good luck to him in a way. It's obviously going to be a problem. If he decides to have a lifestyle change and he wants to become an accountant, he's got a problem there.
Yeah, well, that's another issue, isn't it?
He's committed
the way you
now,
look to what
he?
Job you can have.
He's committed to that look.
I wonder if he's a tattoo artist himself. Or wonder what he does.
Well, do you know what? I mean, exactly. There's no detail there about. I mean, it's just. I think he might be on Twitter. I wonder whether we should hit him up for a quick chat and find out what on earth he was doing. He vows he will never regret the work that adorns his body, but has recently undergone laser surgery to have some tattoos removed. But that's only so he has bare flesh for new tattoos. It's like a picture hanging at your home, he shrugged. You get bored with it and want a different one. So he doesn't just tattoo himself. He then erases the tattoos and starts again.
That is absolute crazy. They are addictive tattoos. Have any of you two got any?
No, I've got nothing.
I think I've got eight. And they are very addictive. They
well, the thing is, it used to be a real expression of like a rebellious move to go and have a tattoo. But now it's like just normal.
You know, people have their different views on it. There's lots of people my age in this era that are having tattoos because lots of people are like, yeah, but when you're older, look at what you're going to look like. But then there'll be a generation of us who've all had tattoos, so we'll all look the same when we're older, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, I tell you what. Tell us what, do you know what? Tweet in. Have you got a tattoo? Tweet us a picture of your tattoo at FUBAR Radio. We'll retweet it and Katie and I will have a little look and see which one we like the best.
Do you know what I did want to do?
Go on.
It's really crude, but I thought it could be different, but I couldn't bear the pain. You know when you open your legs?
Yes, I do.
I wanted a butterfly tattooed there.
Wow.
But I don't think I could sit there with my legs open like that, and that would bloody hurt. I've got a pink heart there. But
just
you
above,
know what I
just
mean.
Just above. Do you mean just
above? Yeah,
just
where
above.
They normally have the Brazilian strip.
Yeah.
But I don't know why. Sometimes
what
I always
would the
thought,
tattoo?
Have a
what,
butterfly
what would be
underneath.
Like? What would it just say on it? Would it be like a words or something? Like
what, if I did the... The butterfly one.
Oh, it would be a butterfly above the... Okay.
No, just underneath. You know where your lips
oh
are and that? Just a butterfly.
Right.
I've always thought it, but I wouldn't do it.
Has anyone, have
hurt.
You seen that elsewhere? Is that something people have done?
No, I just thought of it. I don't know.
Would you do that?
No, because it would hurt. Because at one point I thought about body piercing. Oh you know, there's God. All different, but I couldn't. The thought of someone with a clamp pulling your clitoris out... And stamp. Oh no!
Do you believe? I mean, do you like the idea of the decorating the vagine? Is that something that you? I know we were very gone public about how you are bald. And
remember, we were talking about waxing the other week with that with Lee. Do you remember? And I said, how can you wax it? Surely it will make it like hang.
And he said, no, it's fine.
Yeah,
you don't
he
have
said,
to worry.
Did say it was fine.
But do you believe in that whole that you've got a colleague of yours or a lesser rival of yours who's famous for the Vajazzle? Have you ever done any of that stuff?
I haven't, no.
No.
What do they actually do there? Do they just stick diamantes on
I
it?
I think so. What produce Italia? So
yeah, I think it's pretty much just...
on the Vajazzle?
Why am I the expert? I've not got one of these. It's just a few diamonds there, I think, and just you have it how...
But you have it done, but for what?
Because to look pretty?
For who? Your man?
Yeah, I think so.
The thing is with the Vajazzle, this is lovely Amy Childs, who is on FUBAR Radio, of course, with Joey Page. Does it
do on a Friday?
Yay. She knows that stuff. Do you need to have the pubic hair to do a Vajazzle, or can you do a
You'd
Vajazzle
have to be
on
bald
a,
for it to stick.
Yeah, would you? Oh, so it's the other way. Oh, I see.
And there's also a Pajazzle for the penis.
No, is there?
Yeah, that's a new thing.
Oh my God, people, please send in your most extreme areas and all of that tattoos.
It.
Let's see.
Let's do it. At FUBAR Radio, donlearnfubarradio.com. Tweet in your tattoo. It could be on your forearm, but it could be somewhere a lot more intimate. Because it's FUBAR, we can talk about it
or
wherever it is.
Inspire me for a new tattoo. A girly, pretty one.
What should Katie have done? amazing. This dude, right? So I would say good luck to him for having all of this plastic surgery or the body art. Because I went to America to meet a guy called the Catman.
I remember watching that.
Right. And his real name was Dennis Avner. And he was a very nice guy. He turned himself into a cat.
Did he do his teeth as well?
Everything.
Remember,
so he
yeah.
had his, he had
fangs.
He had fangs. He had these dentures made for his teeth, which were like cat fangs. And he had silicone implants above his lips so that he had that kind of chubby upper lip. So he looked like feline, like a cat. He had his eyes widened. So they were like cat eyes. Silicone implants in his cheeks, sort of all built up cheekbones. And also a ridge of silicone in his forehead
Crazy.
As well. Amazing. And then obviously a full kind of a full facial tattoo. But obviously the whole body was covered in tattoos. Turned himself into a cat. And he even had he had rabbit ears on his head.
No.
Yes, which he used
Can't
to put on
that.
Manually. But he was before he died, he was exploring getting them put on
And why did he die?
He died. I'm afraid he took his own life.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he did. He did. But I spent a lot of time with him. We bonded. We were both into... he's a huge fan of English sort of rock music, like the Rolling Stones, Beatles, Who, obsessed. So we did a huge road trip across America together. And all we did was play Rolling Stones and talk about his life. Basically, what it turned out was that when I first met him, I thought, it's freakish what you've done. It shouldn't be allowed. He said, look, turning myself into a cat saved my life. I said, what do you mean it saved your life? He said he was in the Navy in America. He came out, became an alcoholic, taking drugs, because when he was a kid, he was abused by his stepfather. His mother in the 60s was on a treatment for asthma. She had really bad asthma, and she was given basically methamphetamine.
Right. Right?
Which is, what do we know that as now, producer Talia?
Crystal meth.
Crystal meth, yeah. Basically. That's it. But the thing is, she wasn't a drug user. This was given to her by a doctor, because in the 60s, right. they didn't know what the hell they were doing. And so she was on methamphetamine. So she had these moods. So she was like a mad bipolar. So she basically verbally and mentally abused the kids. He was sexually abused by his stepfather. And he was very depressed. So anyway, he was drinking himself to death. And he had explored the possibility of turning himself into a cat, because he's a Native American. So he feels a connection with cats, because in Native Americans, the cat is symbolic, like a god. So anyway, he went to a plastic surgeon and went, sorry, we can't do this. We can't do anything that you want us to do. So he just gave up. Anyway, he was on a trip somewhere and he met a body artist, which is what this guy's done, right? He's a tattoo artist. And he said, look, I can turn you into a cat. And he said, from that moment, he said he put away, he had a bottle of whiskey, he poured it down the drain, didn't touch a drink. And he started on a journey for 10 years.
Turns Unbelievable.
He said, it made my life. He said, I put all my demons behind me. I became who I am. It's my essence to be a cat. He said, I know I look crazy. Do you know
but,
what?
But he was a really nice guy.
He was a nice guy. He was great company. He was a huge eater. We spent. We went to Vegas and we spent about 3 hours looking for his favorite buffet. There's like this international buffet. He ate like a monster. He'd have like 3 steaks. The guy was phenomenal. And he liked it almost raw, just like a cat. He ate like a cat. And he had his big voice like that, and he was a huge bear of a man. What's really funny is he still needed to make a living. So his job, he lived in the desert in Nevada, okay, in a little town, like a one-horse town. His job was to drive around going and fixing old ladies' computers.
No way.
Yeah, and he just turned up like this human
cat.
That
is so random.
I've come to fix your computer. And he was lovely and sweet. Anyway, so the little moral of the story is, as you said, live and let live. If that's what's in, you know, it was in you to make, you know, to make yourself look the way you do. You were always lovely, but you've enhanced yourself in ways that's you expressing yourself, isn't it? That's what he did. Obviously, it's a bit extreme, but live and let live. That's what I would say. Many more of your tweets and emails coming in. Also, Katie Price, you seem to be rubbing yourself there. Are you okay?
I'm not yawning because I'm bored. You know when you just feel you need air?
Oh, my God, you definitely do. you know what? Katie is doing so well. And I just would say, let's get the hot water and the towels ready, because you just never know.
I am getting more uncomfortable.
I think you're going to have a baby live on air. That's my prediction. Producer
Talia,
go all the way. Talia, go and... Yes.
Go and do what?
Go and wash your hands.
Okay.
I've got a baby to deliver.
Mark Dolan and Katie Price on FUBAR Radio.
It's FUBAR Radio. The time is 11:29 and I'm not going to dress this one up, Katie Price, but we've basically got stuck into the pastries now, haven't we?
I know, look at me munching away.
On a
croissant.
We've got to keep the energy up, and I'm thrilled to say that our star guest, top showbiz journalist from Now Magazine, the unmissable weekly celeb treasure trove, joins us in the studio. Caroline Millington, welcome back to FUBAR.
Good morning.
You're very bright and cheery. And what was your pastry of choice this morning?
A croissant.
A classic croissant.
Oui.
That many French people can't be wrong.
Exactly.
Now, is it a busy time in the world of celebrity? Because the sun's shining. Does that mean that more people are being papped and being written about and talked about?
Yeah, I guess so. You've got all the picnickers and holiday makers. A lot of celebrities now take to their Instagram and Twitter. So even if they're not in the country being papped, they're putting their own pictures up. So you get to see a bit of Miley in class having a holiday with her kids.
Oh my God, she's got a six pack.
I know. She looks amazing.
Tiny.
She looks great.
Now, Miley in class, is she single or has she got a new man on the go?
She's got a man. She's not named him, but he is handsome. He's Scandinavian, and she's kind of said, you know, after her heartbreak from her husband leaving her and divorce, this is her first sort of serious relationship since, and she seems really loved up, but she wants to keep it out of the public eye, which is fair
you
enough. They're going
that.
Without it, but they were spotted snogging in a park last week looking very loved up.
I did a TV show with her a little while ago, and she's so beautiful.
Yes.
Miley in class.
She's recommended me to... Because I looked at her eyelashes. So I said, oh my God, your eyelashes are so good. And she recommended me to this woman to do my eyelashes.
Oh, to have extensions put in?
They're so good. They're the best ever.
Wow. And she's really nice.
She is nice.
Well, funnily enough, you mentioned the eyelashes because Cara Delevingne?
Yes.
I can never say her name.
People have been copying her eyebrow look.
Eyebrows,
What is the story with her eyebrows? Is it eyebrow tattoo is the story?
No, it's the fact she's got such... thick eyebrows. I think for so long, like 90s, early noughties, you know, we've all been plucking our eyebrows for a long time.
Yeah.
And then Cara came back with these big, bushy eyebrows, and everyone was like, oh, that actually looks really good.
Obviously, didn't Brooke Shields used to have
eyebrows?
Yes. I do like it.
Yeah, your eyebrows are thicker now than they were years
ago. Yeah, but
back.
I've had mine tattooed and HD'd.
All that.
Just followed the trend, really.
Have you got HD eyebrows?
I did a course and I'm qualified as well.
You get out of here.
Yeah, in Milton Keynes, you do it. Nilam Patel,
you working up to 3D eyebrows at some point?
I don't know why they call it HD brow, but it's better than just having it tint and plucked.
You'll have to do my eyebrows. I've got very thin eyebrows.
I think eyebrows frame your face.
Thank you. But they're thin.
Well, you're fair, so people who've got fair hair have always got fainter eyebrows, haven't they, normally? What's the deal with the eyebrow, the HD eyebrow tattoo? Is it just so that
Well, no, you've got semi-permanent. So I've got semi-permanent.
Right.
As well, and then I get them HD'd, is better, where they sort of wax it and do all of that.
It's the shaping.
Is
it a pigment in the skin, or is it actual hair that they put onto
HD
your eyebrow?
HD is tint, and the tattoo is just they create an eyebrow. Mind you, HD brow, they can create an eyebrow.
Yeah, they just gently tattoo on strands so that
it
looks really
natural. But
you
go through stages. You see some of us, mine's probably like it, where you've got these big black eyebrows, thick. But then now, sometimes I like it when they're really fair, like yours, and then your eyes stand out more.
Oh, thanks.
But I'm so used to seeing myself with eyebrows, I have to keep tinting them.
But if you want to get rid of the eyebrows, sorry to interrupt you, but if you want to get rid of the eyebrows...
They'll just fade.
Oh, so this tattooing, all this HD business, it's not permanent?
No.
All right.
The tattooing, it fades.
I see. So what were you going to say about Cara?
That I like her eyebrows. I like that sort of bushy look, personally, myself.
Definitely. We've got... lovely Sarah, and our fashion and beauty desk is the spitting image of Cara Delevingne. She's
really
beautiful, and she is rocking the eyebrows as well.
I like a pair of eyebrows on a lady. Who else have you got? You've got maybe Liz Hurley's got a decent set of eyebrows.
Yep.
It's obviously not the first thing you notice, but eventually. And also, who else? Emma Watson eyebrows.
She's got good eyebrows. I think it's all about grooming.
Yeah.
So you might want to tidy them up. And also, if you're quite fair... there's a lot of products out there for eyebrows now, for eyebrow makeup. So I use like a little Benefit
get, like,
eyebrow box.
Yeah.
So you can just, instead of colouring them with a pen, which can look quite stark, it's a powder or a slight waxy one, and it sets them nicely.
The crucial thing is, I think, not to pluck your eyebrows.
Exactly. That you can over-pluck, but it's also having them symmetrical.
Yes.
So if you go to a good place, they will pluck them and should make them symmetrical. But then if you look at your face... They're both sides are completely different. I've got one eye bigger than the other. But you wouldn't. Well, I notice it.
It's the shape
I look,
of it. Yeah. I don't notice that on the E. But it's yeah. and it's I where it goes. It it's where it goes up as well. Mm-hmm. So the shape of it is where the arch should be, and you shouldn't. If you're plucking yourself, you shouldn't pluck above the hairline.
Oh, I see.
Obviously, if you have threading done, they'll do that for you.
Oh, that so hurts threading. Now, I'm such a wimp.
In my mum's era, I'm very lucky. My mum is incredibly beautiful. Look, she looks amazing for her age. She in the 50s. Everyone and the 60s, women were plucking their eyebrows like crazy yeah. and then drawing the eyebrow on, which is horrific, really. And she's fine, but she does have friends who basically don't have any eyebrows, and they draw the eyebrow on, permanent look of surprise in their face.
Right.
And it's not a good look.
No.
Because if you pluck enough, you will damage the growth, I think.
Yeah, and I think as you get older, I don't think it grows as much. But HD brow, I would say, is a really good way. If you've got thin eyebrows, HD brow, they can create the shape and
now
it's all
why
symmetrical.
Are you qualified Katie Price to do this? Why did you do
I am a qualified nail technician.
Get out of here.
I am a qualified
was
HD
before
brow.
You became rich
no
and
this
famous?
Is all recent. I've just done my
why?
Makeup course.
Why do you let someone else do it? You got people.
Because I just like to learn things. So I'm a qualified makeup artist because I've done now my makeup course. I've done it the same place at Nilam's. HD brow, what else?
Tanning.
Nails, yeah, tanning.
What was that? What was that rainbow thing that you were fronting up the other week? That rainbow in the hair thing.
Oh, that was Colour Before You. I looked absolute ridiculous in that. And that's another thing I'll just quickly say. I know we're back signing. When I do my press calls, I just want people to know. Do you really think I look in the mirror and think, wow, I look amazing? Honestly, of course I don't. The more ridiculous I look, the more fun it is and outrageous it is. And that picture, I look like a porn star crossed Rainbow Bright.
I came down and said, you look like Rainbow Bright.
Awful.
I
but
loved it.
But it worked, and I had fun.
I loved it because you were there promoting...
Colour Before,
know,
yeah.
You were there promoting a hair product, which I have no doubt is an outstanding product. But you were there promoting a hair product, maybe not the biggest story in the world, but there you are with the rainbow hair, and I watched it and I thought, boom, Katie does it again.
Yeah, slam, I look ridiculous.
Slam, no, but slam dunk. It. Yeah, but you managed to get people to write about it and talk about it. And there's a million celebs out there plugging all sorts of shit we don't even hear about. But you
they
just
should take
the
a trick out of the pricey
level.
Book and make an effort.
I think you. You know, I think I realise Katie's got that in common, Caroline, with like Boris Johnson. It's that kind
yes.
of. I couldn't give a shit. I'm just doing this anyway.
Yeah, but I
and
love
have
it.
Fun.
And we love that. Do you remember when Boris Johnson was on this tripwire or something?
Zipwire.
Zip
got stuck during
and
the Olympics.
And he got stuck on it. He's just hanging there in the mirror.
No.
It's
brilliant.
Oh,
and he managed to just turn it into like a positive, didn't he? It was like, oh, crazy Boris.
Boris being a bit of a buffoon, everyone has a laugh.
I think that's where Katie is an inspiration, is to not give a damn, basically.
I did a, was it at Oxford, one of them, I did a debate with his sister.
It
What's
was at
her
Oxford.
Name again?
Yeah, I know her sister. She writes, she's an editor of one of those posh magazines.
The Lady.
She's quite
the
sarcastic.
Rachel
Johnson. Side. That's right.
Yeah. Was she a bit dismissive? Was she a bit sniffy with you?
Yeah, but she got booed for being like so, and then she tried to backtrack, saying, "Oh no, I didn't mean anything horrible." And it's like, "It's all right, I'm
bit
used
late,
to
dear.
It." Yeah,
yeah. Thank you very much. But on the eyebrows thing, then you basically pluck, but don't pluck too much. But
don't overpluck shape.
The problem is that it comes and goes. The fashion. So next week it will be thin eyebrows.
And
again,
to be honest,
it?
It's not that expensive to go somewhere to get your eyebrows done. So. And it does shape your face, you know, if you have your eyebrows done. I would say, you know, anyone can actually afford to get their eyebrows done.
And if you can't afford it, buy one of those little brow boxes.
Yeah, but I think generally people can. You can find places. HD brow is a bit more expensive, but just to have a shape and a tint properly, I think anyone can really afford to do that. And it does last.
I'm going to let you loose on my eyebrows now.
Yeah, you sure? Them.
Have you
yeah.
actually, when you did the course, was that so that you could do your own nails properly? Or
well,
was
at
it...
home, I've got a beauty salon, and I call it the pricey, cheap beauty salon. Because you come in, don't pay for anything. I've got all the gear, and I'm frustrated because I just want to do all the beautician stuff. I want to learn facials next and massage. I just love it.
Yeah. Well done, you. That's very
I don't.
Good.
I don't charge my friends for it. I just want to do it.
Do you do nail art as well when you put all the?
I haven't done that course. I can do acrylics and gels.
You should do the nail art because that'd be cool.
Well, let's segue. I do love the nail art. Let's segue from nail art to body art, because people have been tweeting in their tattoos. This is off the back of a man who has had a silicon skull implanted in his chest, so that in the next year or so, as the skin around his chest tightens up, it will look like there's a creature trying to get out of him. Okay.
Is he single?
I fear he might be.
Mm. And I've got must be Tali's iPad in front of me.
Yeah, so let's have a little
looking
look.
Looking at some tattoos as well.
So first of all, Simon in Ipswich has tweeted in, I don't know which part of his anatomy it is. I think it's his arm, and I really like it. It's a skull with some sort of foliage running through it, some kind of vine, and then there's a sort of spider's web in the background or something. It's basically a take on the skull and crossbones, but it's quite dramatic, isn't it, Caroline?
Yes, dramatic.
Katie it's not, Price?
Yeah, I was looking at here. Yeah, we're
Simon
looking at the
same
Simon one.
Simon and Ipswich, what do you reckon?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, I really like it.
It's different, it's detail, and it's got the green colour going in it.
I think also, in fairness to Simon, because it's a close-up, we can't really see the context, but, you know, down the arm, that sort of look might be quite impressive.
I'd love to have a sleeve, but I just wouldn't have the balls.
Yeah. Now, what else have we got here? We've got, who is it? Wills Robertson, who's got a wonderful selection. Wills has got a butterfly. You were talking about having butterflies.
Is that Kylie's signature? Is that in Kylie Minogue?
It looks like Kyle to me. K-Y-L-E.
See, I haven't got my glasses on. I'm not very good about my glasses.
We've got a lot of work going on. I think we've got work. We've got sort of these bubbles on the under the arms, and then we've got the butterfly on the back of the neck.
Happy birthday tomorrow, Craig, by the way. I just saw his tweet.
There you go. Happy birthday. Also, that's very nice. Joe Hopp has got one. I'm not sure how permanent it is. On one knuckle, on one set of fingers, it says arse. And on the other, it says hole, arsehole. Hopefully that's not permanent, otherwise you'll live a very embarrassing life. We've also got this one here. By the way, we'll retweet these out. Katrina Ferguson, now that is special. This is a classic nautical one, a big anchor. And what is it says? I refuse. What is it? I refuse to sink?
Yeah, I refuse.
Yes, I refuse to sink. What do you reckon? What do you think of that?
Well, I like the bow bit because I've got a bow on the back of my top of my bum.
But you don't like such a... You don't really go for such a dramatic masculine image.
Pink. I just like mine all pink, colour-coded. But no, I do want a new tattoo, but I've got to finish my thigh one yet.
So that was really, really nice. Katrina's got a couple, actually. She's got a butterfly as well with a bow on it.
I think that's the breast cancer ribbon.
Is
that
it?
That looks like it, doesn't
well
it?
Well done, Katrina. So they're very pretty. But, oh, yeah, so we've got happy birthday to Craig right there. And have we got any more? I've got, what is this? Okay, so this is from Sarah Jane. 2-hour ride with these beauties and boy, now having dinner before work, listening to Katie Price on FUBAR Radio. She's been out with a pair of huskies. They're absolutely
beautiful,
gorgeous.
They are.
Fantastic work. Brilliant. Well, look, thank you very much for your tattoos. They're all very interesting. I think the important thing, Caroline, is that it's just cool for people to express themselves, isn't it? Just be what you want to be.
I think tattoos are... It's such a personal choice, and I think they can look beautiful, and they are pieces of art, and then I think sometimes they can look absolutely terrible.
Because who do you think's so terrible?
I think...
You're reading my mind.
The boys of One Direction with scribbles on them, it's not a good look. So if you're going to have a tattoo for the rest of your life, think it through. Because it's kind of, if you
I haven't really learnt my lesson. I've still got to get rid of Leo's one on my leg.
Is that still there?
I know, but I don't know what to have there. The thing is, a lot of us do it, you know, you get your names of your other halves or whatever on you, and then you split up and then you're stuck with a name. This has happened to me twice with the Pete one, and now I've got Leo on my ankle. So what do you do? Do you have it lasered off? But then you're left with a scar, or do you try and create something to go over it? But then surely you have to have something a bit bigger to go over it, to cover it. Does that make sense?
See,
I don't know what to do.
The problem is you're running out of body in which to put men's names. There's only a certain amount of real estate on that lovely body of yours, Katie.
But so I don't know what to do.
Is there a nice word that Leo is part of? This is one for Scrabble fans, right? But could you write something like...
Yeah, but I've got Leo and then the date of the date we met. Sad me.
I love watching those.
What about Cleo? Why don't you write
Cleopatra.
Write Cleopatra, finish it, and then just have a lovely image of... Because you're a bit like Cleopatra, aren't you? Quite, you're powerful.
But then it's, men are terrified still, of you. It bloody hurts, though, all that detail.
See, I love watching those programmes where they have got, sort of, you know, the body nightmares, and they've got the ink, and they have to like tattoo over the top of it to hide it.
Or and maybe I'll get David Blaine in and he can just like magic vanish it off.
Now you're talking. we've got Dara's got also a very pretty butterfly with sort of stars coming out of it. It was very, very smart. My God, there's so many. Everyone's had, we've seen Simon's there. Laura, Laura's might be my favourite. It's a rose on the inside of her arm. Her mum calls it a cabbage though, but it does not look like a cabbage. It definitely looks like a rose, doesn't it?
That's like a beautiful. Bit of that.
Yeah,
that's lovely.
Very pretty, very elegant, very classic. So there you go. Brilliant. Well, look, what we're going to do. Oh, it, by the way, it just goes on and on and on. Kareen has got a bow on her leg.
That's like the bow on the top of my back.
Craig, I have your autograph tattooed on my foot. Love and support. You love you so much. Hashtag loyal fan. There's Craig. It's got a tattoo. Katie Price.
Do you know, this is quite common when I do signings. I get people who want me to sign their arms or different body parts, and they really go off and have it tattooed.
It's unbelievable. Does that spook you a little bit?
Well, they're fans,
very,
and
you're
it's
just
like
very flattered.
Yes. I am very flattered.
All right. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to play a record. We are going Showbiz Central with Caroline Millington from Now Magazine. And we're going to talk about a few things. We're going to talk about Sophie Wessex looking hot at 49. Cheryl Cole out with her new hubby and looking happy for the first time in years. And Piers Brosnan, who's trying to fight the flab. Aren't we all loves?
Mark Dolan and Katie Price on FUBAR Radio.
Mark Dolan and Katie Price with you right through until 1 o'clock. And at exactly 12:15, producer Talia has played a blinder and has secured us an interview with the man who is the most tattooed man in Britain, with a skull implanted into his chest, which will create the illusion that there's an alien trying to burst out of him. He joins us live on FUBAR Radio at exactly 12:15. We're also going to be joined by a top nutritionist regarding parents' increasing fears that we and our children are not getting the nutrition we require. And also we'll be talking about addiction to smartphones and tablets, which not only is damaging our children but killing us as well. All of that's come on FUBAR Radio, but I'm thrilled that still with us in the studio is from Now Magazine, the one and only Caroline Millington.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous and stunning and splendid. Now, Caroline, tell me about Rixton.
Yeah, Rixton, a brilliant boy band who just shot to number one on the charts on Sunday.
Amazing. What were they on, a reality show?
No, they're...
Young, old, what music?
Young.
How young?
Early 20s, early 20s-ish. Really cool, really nice guys. They've been together for a few years, and they started out doing covers of pop songs. It's kind of...
Is that a bit like that R&B. Boyce Avenue? Do you remember I've said they do covers of songs?
And they did like the Thong song, and they did all these fun, like Call Me Maybe, and putting them up on YouTube.
Yeah.
Anyway, the lead singer, Jake, is the son of Kelly Nolan and Shane Ritchie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
On your phone?
In fact, I have, because I met the boys, the Jake, Charlie, Louis and Danny, and I met them on Friday.
They're number one.
They're number one. Me and My Broken Heart went to number one.
The good news is I've got it on the system. I'm going to play it next.
Yeah, I'll be intrigued.
They are such nice young guys. They've been working really hard. They're actually being managed as well by Scooter Braun, who's Justin Bieber's manager in the States.
Sorry, what is that person called?
Scooter. He's American.
There's a man called Scooter.
They must make that name up.
Scooter.
No, it isn't. It is actually an American man's name, isn't it?
Yeah. So
they've got some odd names in America.
They've totally shot to number one. They've got another. They're releasing in America. They're going on tour. But I just thought it was quite interesting, obviously, with Jake's connection, having two famous parents.
Yeah.
And the other band that I've been keeping an eye on is 1975, who
Never
played at Tea in the Park recently.
My
and the
favorite,
lead singer, Matty, is Denise Welsh's son.
No.
Yeah, another loose woman. So, yeah, they're kind of... It's like another generation of kids taking over. I'm just showing Katie a picture of me.
Just
going to
look at the picture.
So, our editor...
are they younger than 20?
No.
They've got to be about 20. 18.
Jake was in Emmerdale for a couple of years as well, so he's an
actor. Can they
actor.
All sing?
Yeah, pretty much. But they do, like, keyboards, drummer, guitar and singing.
Okay.
And they're really good. Check them out on YouTube, all their YouTube videos. And Me and My Broken Heart's such a great video as well. It's really fun.
Well, it's queued up, so we'll hear that in a couple of minutes' time. I'm very focused on weird American men's name, right? Because you've got this guy called Scooter, who's this manager. Oprah Winfrey's husband, do you know what he's called?
What?
Stedman. I mean, that's his first name.
But that was one of the names from one of the dudes from Five Star was Stedman.
Really?
Yeah.
I've also got here Arrington. Imagine, Arrington, can you come downstairs? Your dinner's ready, Arrington.
My friend Ashley just had a little baby boy, and she's American, her husband's British, and they called their son Emerson, which I think is a beautiful name.
That's
Americans
a lovely one.
Very much like.
Don't lie, use, Mark. You don't really like it. You're just saying
I
it.
Love
do you know
it.
What? Do you know what? I don't mind it. I tell you what, I do upset. I live in leafy North London, middle class area, and I just suddenly I had a moment where I thought, oh, I think I need to leave. I need to move now because it's so middle class. I overheard a woman in the playground shouting across to her child, and she shouted, Balthazar, get off that swing now. Balthazar.
Do you know what's funny when you say it? Because when you think of names for your kids, obviously, my track of kids, I do exactly the same to you. I'll be like, call out the name. Say, like, for the new one, say if I called it Tinkerbell or something. Like, Tinkerbell, come on.
I know, that's
it. Do you test it out? What do you do?
Yeah,
a roll
but then
call,
I'm
so
like, say, for instance, Harvey, Junior, Princess, Jet, Tinkerbell. Imagine the mouthful. People would look at me like, what?
Yeah.
It's really weird,
oh,
isn't it?
It just goes on and on. But, oh, God, another weird one. Adler. I mean, what the hell's going on
it's like
here?
Udders.
It's like Larry Adler.
Yeah, Isander. Oh no! It just goes on and on. But there you go. That's America. They're a lawyer.
But then people probably don't agree with the name Princess. Right. But it does suit her.
Of course it does. I've met her and it does. And she is she lives up to it.
Yes.
Okay, this has got to be the worst one. Put a full stop on weird American names. Zebulon.
That's different.
Zebulon, you finish your dinner.
Zebulon, it's
you're
next
not
bedtime.
Getting any pudding until you finish your dinner. By the way, you know that weird finishing your dinner thing? You know how you're made to clear your plate?
Yeah.
Do you guys grow up like that?
Yeah.
I've got the kids do it.
One of my dearest friends who I just adore is a top television producer and a lovely guy. And his mother was obsessed with that. He always had to clear his plate.
The poor when you say clear it, you mean eat it.
No, eat it.
Eat it.
Clean his plate, eat it.
All right.
And he's now, I'm afraid he's now obese.
No.
And he's got a nervous thing where he can't not finish a plate of food because it's ingrained in him to finish. So actually, you know how everyone thinks it's really good to make your kids finish? I disagree, actually.
Yeah,
now.
They've said that you're not supposed to.
Really? I think it's bollocks. Why, that's nonsense, right? And I think I'm really pleased with my youngest son, Pete. Even if he's having an ice cream, right? Like a big Mr. Whippy, which, you know, it's a treat. He'll get halfway through it and just hand it to me and go, I'm all done. And I'm like, I'm really pleased about
that.
So I polish it off.
And then you finish it.
I polish it off, so I benefit. But I just think, I actually say to him, well done, good boy for knowing that you're full. Because that's our problem in our society.
Yeah.
People don't know when they're full. What were you going to say, Katie Price?
I'm really sad. I don't know if any of you lot did this, but when I was younger, okay, say I had a bowl of cornflakes and I was at the end of the bowl, I could not leave one cornflake on its own or a Rice Krispie. I'd have to eat it. That as well, or leave two there so it wasn't on its own. Do you know what I mean? Is that really weird? I could not leave one cornflake on its own. I'd have to leave it with another one or eat them both.
My weird eating thing.
That is wrong.
Which my friends
psychiatric.
Point out and laugh at me is I don't realise I'm doing it and then I look at my plate and I cut everything into squares.
Yeah,
I don't realise I've done it.
It is weird, like people, how they eat that, or they mash it all up. Like, say if I've got egg, ham and chips, I'll always save my yolk to the end of my egg.
I'm
going to
just rename
God,
you guys.
We're so excited.
You're like the Rain Man twins here, the two of you. Jesus
But don't
Christ.
You do that. So if you've got a plate of food, especially an egg yolk, and if someone gets a chip and dunks it in it, I'm like, oh my God, what did you do that
don't
for?
Don't mess with my yolk.
Exactly.
All right, well look, on that freaky Friday note, Caroline's, can you stick with us for a couple of minutes?
Yeah, sure.
We've got a couple more showbiz stories to clear up. We're also going to be talking about, funny enough, it dovetails with nutrition, because we're talking to a top nutritionist about children's nutrition, and also, just as importantly, ours as well. So phone guests at 12. We've also got a Foo You. Now, if you want to say something to us on the radio, rather than the palaver of phoning in, you can record it using the FooBar app. It's on the Foo You platform, and then we play it out. And we've got one from Tet, which we're going to do after this. Lovely Tet, cutie pie, has got a Foo You for us.
Mark Dolan and Katie Price on FooBar Radio.
We've been asking you to send us any audio that you want. If you've got an opinion, a joke, anything you want to put across, you can do it through the FooBar app, and it's called Foo You. You record a message, send it, and it uploads straight onto our system, and it's sat in front of me now. So I've got one from Tet, and so let's have a little listen, and here it comes. We'll just put 10p in the meter. And there you go. Oh, come on, dude. Windows Media Player cannot play the file. We just should have bought a Mac computer technology. Because it's not... There you go. Well, do you know what? We will gloss over that and we'll find a way of playing that shortly. But first, it is time to talk nutrition, guys. Parents in panic over healthy eating. Over 75% of those with young children worry about whether meals are nutritional enough. Parents of young children are panicking more than ever about when they're feeding their children the right food, mainly because they feel bombarded by confusing advice. According to a recent survey, more than three quarters of parents with children aged 1 to 3 worry about whether their child is getting all the nutrition they need from their meals. The research by children's healthy chilled meals brand Little Dish revealed 79% are unsure of recommended salt levels, 77% are uncertain of official guidelines on sugar levels in youngsters' food. Caroline Millington, are you somebody that looks at like the ingredients of food and the kind of, you know, where they've got the percentages? So have you guys seen that? Where you buy an item and it says, it'll have these different numbers and it will say, one biscuit is this percentage of your allowance of sugar. And do you look at those?
I think calories and fat.
You can get obsessed with doing things like that. But then if it says that, then it's probably full of sugar. Because you know, you get some of these drinks or smoothies and stuff. They're like, this is
sugar.
Full of fruit goodness. But then when you actually read it, not that I've read it, but I've been told, it's full of sugar and other stuff that aren't so good for you.
That's why with like juicing or smoothies, it's far better to have vegetable-based ones because... the fruit ones are so packed with fructose.
Yeah.
They're not bad for you, but if you have them all the time, it's actually loads of hidden, even though it's natural, it's loads of sugar.
Isn't it like these slim, that you can like get these ready-made meals that they say, you know, you can have this, this is your calorie count for the day. They may say that you've got these calories, but then it's got everything else in it.
A lot of time they're packed with salt as well, like, and preservatives. So I think you have to be careful on that.
Well, I think you should just enjoy what you eat. But we're going to speak to nutritionists, aren't we?
Let's get the... because I'm very curious if that's true about, you know, whether if you make a juice from fruit rather than vegetables. So let's speak to an absolutely top, top nutritionist. I'm thrilled that we've managed to get her. Busy, busy lady. We've got her on FUBAR Radio. And it's Nina Thakra. Hi, Nina. Welcome to FUBAR.
Hi, well, thank you very much.
Lovely to have you on the show. Now, Nina, we're chatting with Mark Dolan and Katie Price and Caroline at Millington. First of all, parents in a panic over healthy eating. 75% of those with young children worry about whether meals are nutritional enough. Are we still ignorant about what the children should be eating and what they shouldn't? Or are we only got ourselves to blame?
I think we are still worried and ignorant because we ourselves are not eating healthy enough. You know, the more fresh you go, the less likely you need to worry. And I think that's the main message that needs to go out there. If you buy a lot of packet foods, tin foods, then you need to start worrying. There was just a discussion I was listening to now about the drinks. And firstly, children don't necessarily need juices or, you know, smoothies. You can encourage them by making smoothies at home, you know, to get that 5 fruit and veg. But water is also very important because quite often children forget about drinking water, and that's a habit that you create as you go into adulthood, because you get used to picking up a bottle of juice or a bottle of fizzy drinks. So it's very important that water is really encouraged for children.
What is the correct amount that children should have water-based and adults?
Yeah, good question.
How much should kids have a day and how much should adults have?
You hear all this stuff about how we're supposed to have 3 litres and I just can't do that.
That would drown me.
So tell us, Nina.
To be honest, you know, everybody says, you know, you need to have 2 litres, 3 litres. It depends on your own body. Some people get dehydrated very quickly. So, and your body will tell you. The one of the confusion is quite often is that when you actually feel hungry, sometimes it's actually you just need water. And when you're dehydrated, your brain can also send a message thinking that you need to eat. And that's sometimes how we overeat, because we don't need to eat. We just need to be hydrated. So it's quite important. But for children, you know, I would say, you know, 500 mils of water, which is that small bottle, if you can encourage them. And what I normally say is that encourage children to carry a bottle of water with them. You know, just encourage it so that when you're going out, when you're at home, that bottle of water is like a habit for them, and they sip on that water. You know, very difficult to get someone to sit down and drink a glass of water.
I agree with
but
you because
you encourage.
I think the problem is, Nina, I don't want to interrupt you, but it's the same
That's
for children. I've got two children, and it's the same for adults as well, which is that soft drinks are a waste of time because it's invisible calories. You're stacking up the amount of sugar. If you enjoy a bit of ice cream or some biscuits, there's no problem
yes.
with that. And it's silly, therefore, to use up your allowance of sugar every time you're thirsty. So it's like if you're thirsty, have water. And then that allows
yes.
you, that gives you license to have a treat later in the day. But
yeah.
the problem is that kids are drinking water, juice and these soft drinks like it's water, aren't they?
Yes, yes, yes. If you want them to have juice, you want them to have a smoothie, you make it at home. You know, buy a juicer. Encourage, the children will love it. They'll enjoy the experience. Buy any fruit and veg. It doesn't really matter, because even if you put some vegetables, and when I say vegetables, you know, you could put a little bit of peppers in there, or kale,
celery.
Or spinach. Actually, you know, celery, you mask the taste, because you always would put some fruit in there.
So is there no problem with the sugar level in fruit juices, like Caroline was talking about? Is it not a problem having these homemade fruit juices for our blood sugar level?
No, it's not a problem if you make it at home. It's a problem when you buy ready-made sugar drinks, or even if it says natural, or the smoothies, because there is a very high content of juice.
Why would an innocent smoothie or any of those other brands of smoothies from the shop, why would that be worse, Nina, than doing it at home, do you think?
Because even though the innocent is supposed to be pure, it's a very concentrated amount. While when you make it at home, you choose what you want in there, so you would have smaller amounts, you see. Mm. And also you can put a bit of vegetables in there. That's the best way to encourage vegetables, because children get used to having vegetables and seeing and feeling vegetables.
Which is good, but it's also very expensive. I mean, it's good to get, you know, your fruit and veg in your kids. But when you make a smoothie, because I make them myself, you actually need quite a
yes.
lot to make a full glass. And there's lots of people out there. It's actually quite an expensive kind of diet to do, even though it's good
it
for
is.
You. How would you find
yeah.
for, like, families sort of a cheaper way to achieve the same amount of goodness?
I think
in them?
You need to... What you need to do is buy... you know, more, for example, you know, if you buy celery or maybe watermelon, things that have more water content.
What about the frozen fruit?
So
you can buy that frozen
yes,
fruit?
Yes, you can also use frozen fruit and veg. Yeah, it's perfect.
Okay.
For smoothies, it's really nice, because you also get a lot of
the coldness,
you know,
stuff.
The coldness and the smoothie feeling, you know, when you make it like that.
Is there a difference between making juice and a smoothie, Nina? Because I heard that there might be more vitamins in a smoothie, because a smoothie's got more pulp in it. Is there a problem with
That's
juicing?
That's right, absolutely.
So
yeah.
tell me about that.
So
which is better?
So in a juicing, you're extracting and you only get the juice, and that's where there's more wastage. Although you can get, you know, machines which actually minimize the pulp. So you've got to look at a good juicer. And I know that's an investment. Sometimes it's a little expensive, but long term it's beneficial. In a smoothie, you can add anything, and again, you don't lose the pulp. The fiber is very good, because a lot of children also nowadays, I find in my practice, suffer from constipation, simply because, you know, there's too much processed foods that are being eaten, not enough water again. And I would say that if you think that it's expensive for you to have the fruit and veg in a smoothie, then encourage water and make the smoothie or a juicing an experience, which is once, twice a week.
Yeah.
You know, it's a treat. If you think about it like you sort of give them sweets as a treat, why not, you know, do a smoothie as a treat? You know, at that age, children do not really understand what a treat is, as long as it tastes nice. So obviously it's important.
What about vitamins?
That you make it.
Is it not easier just to pop down a multivitamin? Or do you not? Do you think you'd get the same goodness from taking vitamins or making the juice?
Vitamins are also good. Again, it depends, you know, how much vitamins you absorb.
Like just for a child, a multivitamin each day.
I give my kids vitamins.
Yeah, I do. But, yeah.
I mean, it's a good idea because quite often, you know, you don't get enough in your fruit and veg. But the whole idea is the experience of having fruit and veg. So the more you have fresh things, it's, you know, this is not about now. This is about when they're teenagers. The obesity is far more in the teenagers, you know, because from a young age, if you don't encourage these experiences, you know, when they're older, they also become a bit lazy. And they don't want to do these things. So
Nina,
that's what we're trying to work on.
Nina, what do you think about fluids with meals, like with dinner? Because I heard that it's actually healthy. Unless you're thirsty, it's good to eat meals without drinking anything, even water.
That's right, yes.
So what's the rules with fluids? Beforehand or after? What do you do?
The way it works is that ideally, if you also want to have any fruit, or if you want to have a fruit drink, you should always have it before the meal. Then give yourself about 20 minutes, half an hour. Then mm-hmm. you have your meal, and then you'd have your water about 20 minutes afterwards. The reason you don't have water with your meal is that it dilutes the mixture that goes in your stomach, you know, the constituents, and therefore it takes longer to digest.
Right, so you're diluting.
And with children... With children, they don't have all their enzymes. You know, they're developing their digestion. So sometimes they don't have all the enzymes that are necessary. So when you also give them too much processed food, these foods are quite difficult to digest. So therefore, they find it harder, and that's where constipation occurs. Too much meat. Also, which is quite difficult to digest. So even the meat, like protein, needs to be in smaller portions.
Yeah, they don't need it. People think children need. I think people think children need loads of meat. They don't. They just need a little bit, don't they? Just a couple
And live yogurt is also important for them to have some, and not the yogurt drinks. Because they, again, are quite sugary. So, but just plain live yogurt.
My last question to you, Nina, my last question anyway, is what about that final thing, which is I sometimes argue with my wife that the children will eat piece of chicken and maybe I've got them trick them into eating broccoli or some red peppers or carrot. So they've had a nutritious meal. And then we go to the fridge or the freezer and we get suddenly like ice cream or a chocolate biscuit. Does the treat, the sugary treat for pudding, does that undo all of the nutrition, or does it? Or do you still get the benefit from the good food even if you have sweets afterwards?
It's fine, as long as there's a gap. Now, this is where there's an issue, because the other thing is about the children's teeth. You have sugary meal on its own, and there's a problem with the teeth often. So you've got to make sure that they brush well. But then if you have sugary food with your meal, it ferments the meal. So therefore, and when I say ferments, it starts breaking down the meal. It's like putting sugar on top of some food. And if you leave it for a while, you know how it starts fermenting and gets that browny color. That's the kind of thing that can happen in your stomach, which can give you bloating and reduce the way the food is digested. So it's quite important. That's why I suggested I have fruit or, you know, something sugary even before your meal. Yeah. And let that go through and then have your meal. Wonderful. So it's good, you know, balance. But, you know, calorie-wise, don't worry about it as well. You know, sometimes, you know, don't worry about children with, calories unless there's an issue about obesity, then you need to think about it. But then you need to speak to someone, you know, even maybe a dietitian with OCP or a nutritionist, or, you know, get a good book on it to try and see where you're going.
Or
wrong.
What you could do is go and see Nina Thakrar, because you've been an absolute fountain of
thank
information.
You.
We really
do,
thank
actually,
you.
And you talk more than me. It's great.
You've met your
I do
match.
Have a website, actually, which is called healthykids.co.uk, and that's all nutritional information. So if any parents want to have a look at it. It gives you dietary information. It's only information site for parents.
I've been on the website. It's absolutely brilliant. It's really well put together, actually. Healthykids.co.uk. I urge everybody to go out. And do you know what? Even if you haven't got kids, go and look at it, because what Nina's telling you about your kids is the same for you. Top, top nutritionist, Nina Thackrath. Thank you, Nina. We loved having you on the show.
You're welcome.
She's inspired me to go and eat some celery now, Caroline Millington.
I love celery.
Caroline, before we get back to the busy newsroom at Now Magazine, which is the exclusive printed magazine home of Katie Price, exclusively every Tuesday, a couple of things before I let you go, because we're going to play a record and we've got Tattoo Man after this, right?
Yes.
But I want to just throw a couple of things at you. I didn't have a chance to catch you with earlier. First of all, Pierce Brosnan is in the papers today. Did I show you the pictures?
No.
All right, let me get them out. Basically, we love Pierce, don't we? He's in his 50s. And he's got a little bit of a paunch, right? A little bit of a belly, as he would.
Yeah.
He's a real man.
This is okay.
So he's on the beach with his belly, and he's doing kind of sit-ups and twists and thrusts
beach.
And all of that, right? So my question to both of you is, here we go, there's the pictures. So it's crunch time. Brosnan blitzes his belly on beach. Oh my God, he's 61.
See, I think he looks really good for 61. I just don't think he should be doing crunches on the beach. You should do that in the privacy of your own home.
Isn't it his wife who does them annoying? Oh, it's a different one.
Keely Shay
Smith. The yoga thing.
Keely Shay Smith.
Which one's that? Hillary, her name's Hillary.
Oh, Baldwin.
Oh, that's it, Baldwin. Oh my God, she annoys the hell out of me.
Poses. Now look, let's look at if we look at Piers, right? First of all, so he's 61. He looks
still
epic.
Hot. I think he looks wicked.
He looks amazing.
Yeah.
Handsome.
We like him.
He's got a decent head of hair. His face is very slim. He's obviously fit.
He's got a nice chest.
But he's got a little bit of tummy, hasn't he? And a bit of the man boobs.
I think he looks good.
Well, now should he fight that? Should he be getting that weight off? Or if you
enjoy.
Would you? Okay, here's a question for both of you. You're both actually, Caroline
we're both
is,
looking at you. Like.
Say, Katie's in a very happy relationship now, so she can't. But if you were both single, would you or wouldn't you, Piers Brosnan?
If I was single, I've never done an older man, so I suppose I could start with Piers.
if you were single and he sidled up to you and he went, "Oh, Katie, I'm a big fan." And
oh no, that would turn me off straight away.
All right, well let's
you
not
can't
do that
say
one,
that.
Then. Okay, we say, "All right, how about it, Katie? You're very beautiful. Can I buy you a drink?"
Oh, that's cringe.
All right, it's not
your
working,
chat
is it?
Lines are shit.
All these lines are coming.
No, to be honest, no. If I was single and an older guy like that came up, I wouldn't. I've never gone for an older guy, but he's hot and he looks good, doesn't he?
I think he looks hot.
There you go. Well, that's good. He'll be very pleased to hear that.
Yes.
He'll be delighted. And finally, I was tricked by lying fake shake, says cleared Talisa. Talisa Constella has been cleared. So she's. I'm delighted for her. She's a free woman. Does this mean that A, she can get on with her life, and B, is this good news for brand Talisa? Is she now going to kind of climb
tarnished.
To the top of the tree?
I think. Really? I do think when things like this come out about anyone, whether you're a celebrity or not, you're tarnished. Like, who's that one from TOWIE?
Oh God.
Mario, is it?
He's still not on the show at the moment.
Yeah, because of that. But the thing is, well, I'm not saying he's done it, but because it's mentioned to him. Same with Talisa now. If anyone talks about her, they're going to say, oh, is that the one who was in that coat thing?
But for me, it was thrown out of court. She's been found guilty of nothing. She's not done anything wrong. She put her career on hold for a year. And
she's had it tough.
She's basically
very stressful.
Yeah, and she said, I can crack on with my career now. So it wouldn't surprise me if she came bouncing back, probably with a new hairdo, because she likes to change her hair up a lot.
Yeah. New boyfriend, new hairdo, new boobs.
Yeah.
Kate Moss did well from it.
Exactly. But the difference is, like, Kate wasn't found guilty of anything. That was just...
Yeah, that's true.
Talisa hasn't been found guilty of anything that's been thrown out.
Katie says that she's tarnished. Anyway.
Well, I just think people, you know, whether she's guilty or not, people always think, did she or didn't she? Which is a shame, because obviously she's found not guilty and
but
she wants to continue.
People forget quite quickly. If you look at Kate Moss, people forget that. Carla Delevingne, you know, she's not been found guilty or anything, but
oh, do you remember
she was
that
photographed.
Picture? Oh, my God.
So there's a lot of things that happen and people go, oh, yeah, well, I forgot that so-and-so, you know.
But I think when it comes to a celeb, they have to follow it through to show an example.
But I think with Talisa, she's not done anything wrong. So therefore, she should be able to go, I don't want to talk about it, wipe the slate clean and crack on again. And she's obviously got support for N-Dub. So.
I think you should be
and
her
she
PR
is looking,
manager.
I think she does look good as well at the
she
minute.
She looks great. And I think, with all due respect, you know, she's kept a dignified silence. She's had to. She's been under all this pressure. She's been Instagram pictures. She's been training. She's like the best shape of her life. She's had to go into court and have all this out there, and it's got thrown out. So, as far as I'm concerned, she's got nothing to explain, and she should just crack on.
Is she a natural beauty, or what do you think about her looks? Because she's had a thing with her skin, hasn't she? Because I see one picture and go, oh my God, she's so stunning. And I see another picture and think,
I think she's naturally really pretty, but I think sometimes she can wear maybe a tad too much makeup. And
she looks like Michael Jackson in this one.
It's not great pictures. I don't know. There's been a lot of debate on whether she's had any work done or not. I don't think she's ever confirmed.
Oh, everyone has Botox fillers and everything.
I haven't. Maybe that's why you start.
You need to come to one of my Botox parties.
Looking forward to one of those. You don't need them at all. You've been epic on our show. Caroline Millington, Now Magazine, will you please consider coming back?
Yes, I will.
Next week.
We'd love to have you around next week. You available?
Yeah, of course I am.
Consider yourself booked. It's FUBAR Radio. We're going to play a track which is 1 minute 47. It's absolutely brilliant. It's Fell in Love with a Girl, The White Stripes. After that, we'll be speaking on the phone to a man who has had a skull implanted in his chest.
Mark Dolan and Katie Price on FUBAR Radio.
It's FUBAR Radio. The time is exactly 12:25, and producer Talia has been very busy on today's show, Katie Price.
Mm-hmm.
And she has booked us the most amazing guest. He's all over the papers. It's a huge, huge story. His name is Bodyart. He used to be called Matthew, and he has relinquished his name, and he has had the most spectacular set of tattoos done. In fact, he's being known, the press are describing him as Britain's most tattooed man, and one of the most notable things which we're discussing earlier is, I believe, allegedly, he's had a silicone skull implanted into his chest, which over time will sort of tighten around his chest.
Yeah, I'm interested in that because it says it would take a year, so I can't wait to ask him questions.
Well, I'm sorry, producer Talia, because you're the world's greatest radio producer, producer Talia.
Thank you.
We have Talia's just got them. She just put a call in.
I don't know how she does it so quick.
Tweet them.
Are you serious?
She makes it look easy. She makes it look easy.
You do.
So I'm thrilled, and we haven't had a chance to do a little pre-on-air chat, but let's just go straight on the radio. Bodyart, we're thrilled to have you on FUBAR Radio. Welcome aboard.
Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
Really well. Really, really nice to speak to you. Thank you for your time. First of all, how did this come to be such a big story across the British and now world press? Did you go public with your look, or how did this become a story?
Well, basically, obviously the story went out about my passport quite recently, just a couple of months ago.
Well, tell us about that. Tell us about that, Bodyart.
The government rejected me a British passport because of my name. Legally changing my name, they have a name policy.
So your name is Bodyart. So your name is Bodyart.
But Bodyart for short, or Bart if you're abbreviating.
Okay,
it.
But it's
actually King of England, King Bodyart the Extreme Incite.
So on your passport, it's Bodyart.
Well, they rejected it at first. However, my MP got involved, and we've now got BRTI. We've got an abbreviation on there, and on the OBS page just above it, it does actually state my full name.
But I thought, when you change your name, you can change it to anything you like, as long as you do it legally.
You can change your name to whatever you like, but there are catch-22 things that you can't have certain things, offensive.
You probably can't call yourself Osama bin Laden or something like that.
I don't think you'd want to.
I suppose you could kind of tweak it, I suppose. But yeah, I think it might have some more problems than,
OBL, maybe get away with OBL. So amazing. So did you get your passport in the end?
Yeah, it was delivered to me on Saturday. I've had to wait about 7 months, missed out on the World Cup.
Seven months?
England didn't do too well anyway.
So. Yeah, you lucky escape, mate. Mm. You missed nothing. And and so that's remarkable. So and your original name was Matthew, is that right?
Yeah, Matthew Whelan, but I relinquished it, so Bodyart to all my friends and my family, although some of them call me Bart or, Bart.
Which is okay. Now, when did it start? What was your first tattoo and how long ago was that?
Yeah, well, at the age of 9, I actually knew I wanted tattoos, and I actually tried to get tattooed at 13. The legal age is 18 to be tattooed in this country.
Mm.
Tried to get tattooed at 13, tried to get tattooed at 14 and 15, eventually got inked on my right arm, the British Bulldog, when I was 16.
It's amazing. So what's the look you're going for? Because I was telling Katie that I met Catman, Dennis Avner. Are you familiar with him?
Yeah, Dennis Avner, he passed away not so long ago, actually.
That's right.
I don't know if he was aware that he passed away.
Yeah, he took his own life, didn't he? Or at least it's alleged he did. He certainly wasn't a very happy bunny towards the end. He didn't enjoy the best of health. But his thing was that he was becoming a cat because he was an Indian
and a native Indian. What's your journey? What are you aiming for?
Yeah, I mean, before I go on about myself, there are many modified people around the world. Like, I put out on your Twitter page, Jester, who kind of transformed himself into a human Jester with his patches.
Wow.
You've got Eric Sprague, who's more well-known as the Lizard Man, and you've got Zombie Boy, Rick, who's a model, who's got, like, a skeleton face and brains tattooed on him. With myself, I've just always put images that I've liked on my body, and it is body art, it's art of the body, so... I've got lots of different things on me, so it's just body art, basically.
Is it the same person who does your tattoos?
No, every year I add a new artist, so when I'm 35 in November, yeah, I'm 34 now, I'll have a 35th artist to actually tattoo on me.
Oh, really? Because I want mine redone. Is there anyone you can recommend?
I mean, there are...
And I'm going to write this down as you speak.
Because it's the Midlands. Are you based in Birmingham, body art?
I'm based in Birmingham, but I'm not a practitioner. I'm not a tattoo artist myself.
So where would you recommend I go? I can travel. Who would you say has been... Who's good at detail? More like... more art, you know, more detail... More... Oh, what's the word? Portrait. Who's good at more portraits?
Well, yeah, I mean, you've got your well-known names. I mean, there's a few egos in the industry, but your Kat Von D's, Louis Malloy's. Louis's based over here. He's David Beckham's tattoo artist, for example.
But do you find people use him because of who he's done? Because I'm sure there's lots of people who are probably just as good.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the things in the industry, that there are tattoo shops cropping up. Like, you know, it's a growing market. And you never know who's good and who's not, because obviously anyone can draw on a piece of paper,
yeah.
And drawing on skin's totally different. And basically you need to have a few years in a studio before you get to train on human flesh. So, I mean, there are good tattoo places around. You just got to, you know, I think the best thing for people is just to look at the work and the portfolio.
Yeah.
And word of mouth, you know, someone's got good tattoos, then, you know, that's the best recommendation that anyone can
have, so
really.
What do you do for a living? I have to ask, because, you know, some people would look at you and think, oh my God, you know, could you not? Some people are like, what do you do for a living?
Well, I'm involved in a few different things, actually. I mean,
jack of all trades. Well, hey,
I do modelling and stuff from time to time. People,
yeah.
Because of my alternative look, alternative modelling. But that doesn't really pay the bills. That's like freelance. That comes and goes. And occasional media stuff, not the newspaper stuff. Some television and film stuff. But again, that's just like flow through. It's not like being in EastEnders where actors have got constant work. I've got a maintenance and management property company, so I look after property. I'm
Brilliant.
On company's house as a director as well.
Because
he has to be
self-employed, doesn't he? He can't really have a boss. You can't sit in an office, I guess, with the body art decision that you've made for yourself.
Well, if I wanted to, I mean, only a few years ago I was working in a call centre. Obviously, that's not customer-facing, for example, but I've been a manager of a skip company. I've done various jobs. I mean, recently in the press you've seen... The lady that got sacked for a small butterfly tattoo on her leg.
I know, stupid.
Yeah, and she was a great member of the office, you know, a great member of staff. And these visible tattoo policies are kind of technically illegal. Now, it's a grey area in law, but with the Equality Act, because I'm involved with politics as well. I'm a member of the Lib Dems. I just chose to be because I'm quite liberal. I'm a member of the Liberal Democrat Party. I go to conference, and I've got a great MP as well. I kind of campaign for identity and body modification issues.
Yeah, I think it's good.
In employment, because it doesn't restrict how you work. Obviously, the image, the company wants a professional image. Take the Metropolitan Police, for example. But now you've got the government looking at the armed forces, for example. They're looking at reviewing their policy to see if they can take people with visible tattoos on, because they might be missing out on a great recruit.
Well, here's the thing, body art. If David Beckham can play for England with that sleeve, why can't you or somebody of your ilk go on behalf of British forces in Afghanistan and, you know,
defend this country?
It seemed a little ironic.
Someone like David Beckham can cover his tattoos up on his sleeve. He hasn't got them visible. But there are a lot of heavily modified people around the world. Some people are more media, you know, outgoing, and some people just take a back step. Because obviously of the negativity towards body modification. because I believe you wanted to talk to me about my latest procedure as well.
Well, yeah, body art, let's do that, because we're so sadly against the clock. But I want to know whether it's true that you had your eyeball tattooed, and also tell us about the skull.
Yeah, okay, the sclera, the eyeball itself, that's a medical term, the sclera. Yeah, I've had it stained, which is also known as an eyeball tattoo. It's an extreme modification, a high-risk procedure. However, it crops up in history in the years 150 and 450 AD, so it has got some historical reference. Mm. And it's not uncommon for doctors to normally work on people with sighted issues rather than people with perfect good vision. And no one knows the long-term effects, really, so it could become the perfect nightmare for all of us. We could all go blind, but no one knows the long-term effects.
Why would you take that risk, body art?
I researched it over about 16 years ago, and I just thought I just fell in love with the idea. It wasn't just that I seen it like overnight kind of thing. And I researched it, talked to doctors, was advised against it, obviously, multiple times.
But at least you've got another eye you can see out of.
Yeah, that's it.
I could
go blind in that one first, Katie.
Oh, really? Well, yeah, no, you'll be fine.
Now, but body art, before we let you go, the skull, tell us more.
Okay, right, that's a subdermal implant. There's different types of implants. Obviously, you can have, like, magnetic implants, eye implants, surface piercings and transdermals. Body modification's a vast topic. But the skull implant, it's a silicone... It's not so much a silicone ball like it's been described. It is a silicone design. And what they do is they scalpel an incision into the area of the skin and then channel an area for it to go into. When it's healed up, it'll take about 6 to 12 months to heal for the skin to sink into the holes. So you get a 3D image. So it's kind of like the next level of tattooing, body modification and body art. It's internal body art, so it's like three-dimensional art.
Is it expensive?
Cosmetic-wise, I mean, it's surgical. So for the size that I've had, which is a 7.5 centimetre by 5 centimetre skull, it was about 350. But you can get small stars, small exclamation marks that are about £120, £200. It all varies and depends on what modified surgeon.
But they have to put you to sleep to do it, do they?
No, I mean, you've got the choice of a numbing ointment, or you can just go.
Oh my God! Don't tell me you just did the numbing ointment.
First of all, I just went with it. The incision wasn't too bad, but the channeling was quite brutal. Ugh. So, yeah, I had to have some numbing ointment about an hour and a half, 2 hours into the procedure.
Amazing. Well, listen, I tell you what, mate, we could talk to you all morning. What's your Twitter handle so people can kind of get in touch with what you're up to and how you look and everything
else? Yeah, brilliant.
Else?
It's at king_body_art.
At king, is that K-I-N-G?
Yeah, K-I-N-G.
Okay, at king_body_art. All I would say, having met Dennis in the desert all those years ago, is that I would say you're a courageous man. Well done for daring to be yourself and to express yourself. And we love people who are just true individuals, and there's no better example than yourself, even though clearly you're bonkers getting your eyeball tattooed, but that's clearly how you roll. So thanks for telling us your story, body art.
I've got facial scarification as well, branding. I've had branding on my face, but yeah, I know we're getting
done it all. You've done it all. Well, listen, we at some point we should get you in the studio actually, and we'll have a proper proper chat about it, maybe to celebrate your next procedure. But thank you very much for your time, body art, and keep up the good work.
Brilliant. Enjoy your afternoon, guys.
And thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, dude. That's the legend that is body art. We're going to play a quick record now. And after that, we'll talk about our addiction to our smartphones and our tablets.
Mark Dolan and Katie Price on FUBAR Radio.
I can't believe it, Katie. It's happened again. Which is, I've gone on the radio with you and we've had a cup of tea. We've had a quick chat and it's now 12:40.
I mean, time flies when you have fun.
What is going on? It's the Katie Effect. It's FUBAR Radio. We've got exactly 20 minutes to go, and we've got a very short period of time to speak to a very, very eminent man now, because a new report released today shows that 1 in 5 children feel that their parents don't listen to them properly because they're constantly picking up emails, calls or texts on their mobile. I think that's nonsense. I think it's 5 in 5. I think any parent that's got a smartphone, their child suffers. When my kids, I'm self-employed, when I'm at home, but I'm not at home because I'm on my smartphone, I'm on the tablet, I'm on the laptop. I'm sure it's the same with you.
I think in every household, most households, or anywhere, restaurants, anywhere you go, people are on their phones, or you see families with kids to shut them up. They give them an iPad at the table. You know, it's just technology nowadays is the way it is. I can't remember the last time I went in a telephone box and put money in and made a call, or even if there are telephone boxes anymore.
We're out of control. That's the thing. And that's what we need now is a digital detox. And we're going to speak to a top man about this. Dr. Richard Graham is a consultant adolescent psychiatrist and technology addiction expert, and he joins us online. Dr. Graham, thanks very much for joining us on FUBAR Radio.
Hello.
So we need a digital detox. How bad is it these days, would you say?
Well, I think it's a growing concern, and we thought it was just a concern for parents, but we now learn that 7 out of 10 children feel their parents are on mobile devices too much, and as you say, it may actually be 10 out of 10, but 3 out of 10 are just being polite.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I certainly think that the problem is you feel like this new technology has arrived in the last sort of 10 years, and that perhaps what's happened is that, as with perhaps when smoking started or when any phenomenon arrives, we're having to learn sort of the etiquette and the way in which to control what is ultimately a highly addictive device. So I suppose we just, what we've got to do is develop the right habits to cope with all this technology that's on our, you know, that's in our living rooms. We've got to learn how to use these things effectively and keep them under control.
I think that's right, and that's why I think this initiative by the New Forest National Park Authority, where they actually provide a tech creche at Brockenhurst Station, where you can leave your devices and car keys and then go off for the day and feel like you've got permission to leave it behind. And that's a good step in learning to have more control over your use.
Well, I've been to the New Forest, one of the most sort of stunning, stunning places in the United Kingdom. Great place to have a holiday. And I think the New Forest National Park Authority are absolutely spot on at having a technology sort of crash. I've just come back from a brilliant music and comedy festival called the Llama Tree Festival, which is in Wiltshire. And what was brilliant is I couldn't get a signal on my phone for 3 days. I've never been happier. And my kids enjoyed undiluted attention from me.
I think that's right. When people can't get a signal or even their battery goes flat, they usually feel relief and then sometimes feel happier that it doesn't come back so quickly. But as internet connections become more available across the whole country, that's going to be harder and harder. So this idea of having a place to drop off your devices and learning really that that's what you've got to do to have a good time is something we'll learn to do.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, what would you say? Because it's not just on holiday, is it? But when we're at home in the evening and we are consuming content on the iPad, we're checking our emails on the iPhone, we're just bamboozled. The kids are on their laptops watching YouTube. How, you know, what would be the best way to control our use of these devices, do you think, at home particularly?
Well, I think at home, it's often good to have the idea of a digital curfew where there's a time. And for children, it needs to be probably at least an hour before bedtime because we know the light from a screen of an iPad or iPhone will wake you up again and make you think it's time to get up. So a curfew in that way is a good idea. Some parents have a box at the bottom of the stairs where devices have to be left just before going up to bed. And then on a sort of wider level, because I think when parents and children do it together, a day off from technology or a couple of days off from technology, just to take that break and spend time together, sharing, doing things, really helps and makes a big difference to well-being.
But it's so addictive these days that, you know, I'll be sitting there watching telly, but every now and again I'll just, like, put on the light on my phone just to see if there's any messages, or it just becomes habit. You can't help it. You're just always checking your phone for a message or something. But with the children, I do say to, like, especially Junior, I say, right, you're coming off that computer now because you're going to get square eyes. So he would sit on it all day on his days off if he had it his way. But I don't allow it either.
I think that's a great step. But you'll probably find that he notices you being on social media whilst watching the TV. And he'll think you're a bit of a hypocrite for that as well. So
I'm actually quite good. I just use my phone, so I'm actually quite good like that. But
I say you're just texting.
But no, you get some people. I'm rubbish with all technology stuff. But like I said, I can't remember the last time. But back in the day, how did we used to like meet people? You'd make a phone call and say, "Right, I'll meet you at such and such place at this time." That just doesn't happen these days. It's like it really has overtaken technology. And I think it would get worse and worse, and there'd be more devices, to the point we probably can just sit there, push a button, and everything's done for us.
And then we'll miss out some of those things that helped us find out how to make good friends, start a relationship.
I so agree.
We'll get to know that person. And have a more satisfying experience.
Dr. Graham, I mean, you know, you are the most eminent man, consultant, psychiatrist, and, you know, at the top of your field. What I've sort of picked up from this, and unfortunately the clock is against us, but what I feel the headline really is that as these devices arrive, we've got to find ways of controlling our consumption of them. And the suggestion is essentially to have, you say, curfews and control it and have windows where we use the smartphone and then put it away, plug it in, charge it up, come back to it in an hour. And essentially a little bit like, because we could all just eat chocolate all day, couldn't we? We could just be at the fridge and or at the cupboard and just hoover down, you know, biscuit after biscuit. But we don't. We kind of think, well, I'd love to have all the chocolate in the world, but I'm only going to allow myself one chocolate bar a day. We've just got to do that with these devices, haven't we?
I think that's absolutely right. They're fantastic, like chocolate is. But know your limits and know what's good for you, and also be able to stop. Feel in control of that so you don't feel terrible if you can't access the device.
Fantastic. Well, the time is against us, but we've loved hearing your wisdom. The digital detox expert, Dr. Richard Graham, consultant, adolescent psychiatrist, technology addiction expert, speaking on behalf of new research by the New Forest National Park Authority, who have created a tech crash. What a brilliant idea. We could do one of those at FUBAR Radio. Thank you very much, Dr. Graham.
Thank you for your time.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. It's 12:48. And after this record, producer Talia, we are going to find out the most FUBAR celebrity of the day. We know that FUBAR stands for Fucked Up Beyond All Recognition. So we will choose the most FUBAR. You didn't know that, did you?
No, I did. I was just mimicked. Is it?
There you go. That's what FUBAR stands for. So we will nominate the FUBAR, the most FUBAR celebrity of the day.
Mark Dolan and Katie Price on FUBAR Radio.
Now, it's FUBAR Radio. God, I can't believe we're running out of time. But there you go. That's how it goes. So we've got a very few things to do. First of all, tweets. Must catch up on those. There were so many coming in. Craig, we're talking about tattoos a lot today.
Craig Scott.
There's Craigie. And he said, I have half a sleeve already and loads more dotted about. Also, we've got, let's have a look, Brooke Foster. I would have Miss Katie Price's name on me if I wasn't so scared of needles, lol.
Join the club.
Michelle says, loving Katie Price on FUBAR. Nice lazy Tuesday morning, listening to the best radio. Love the way you can be open about stuff no one else does. That is right. It's quite good, isn't it? Unknown has said, hi guys, love you Katie, you're awesome. I have a bloke who wants to diet, but he will only eat processed food like bird's eye, etc. And I just can't break the habit with him. Can you ask Lady what I should do to help him diet? I've told him more fruit, but what should I do with his main meals? It's a shame we didn't have time to get that question out, actually. But I don't know, how do you get your other half to eat healthily? It is quite difficult, isn't it, if one of you's unhealthy?
Yeah, Kieran's really healthy, so I'm sort of adapting it now. Because
right. So he's a good influence on you, actually, in the nutrition
he
front.
He is, because I'm good at cooking stuff like wintry foods, like roast dinners, chili con carne, spaghetti.
I'm that comfort food,
yeah, where he's really good at fish, salads and stuff. And I'm funny about fish, you know, if it's cooked or not, so... He does all of that and salads.
You like it cooked or you like it uncooked?
No, I don't really know how to cook fish and stuff, but I don't know if I'm doing it right.
Yeah.
Like tuna steak. There's so many different ways.
You're worried you're going to give everyone food poisoning.
Yes.
Well, what I love about tuna.
So he sticks to that, yeah.
Tuna's epic because tuna, you can eat it raw. So if you're worried about how to cook it, you don't have to worry. The best thing with tuna is to sear it. All you do is literally just on the pan, hot.
Right.
20, 30 seconds each side and boom, there's your tuna. It'll be pink in the middle and it is the fish equivalent of a fillet steak.
See, I'm going to try that.
Try that.
Like
so
with
tuna,
salmon, all
darling,
I do with that is put that in foil and put soya sauce on
it. Nice, nice.
Put that in the oven and then pine nuts. I put them in coconut oil.
Perfect.
And then put it over there. That's all I know how to do with salmon.
Well, that's really, really good. The thing with tuna is that you could just eat it raw and you'd be fine. In fact, of course, with sushi they do. But searing it is the best thing. You should fry it a little. But don't cook it through, because if you cook tuna through, producer Taylor will agree with this, it goes sort of hard and flaky.
Right, yeah.
And it's like tin tuna, then there's no point.
So I think, like, with your partner, I think if one of you's healthy, I don't know, it should rub off on the other one, but just think of it. If your partner's healthy, just think you don't have to cook. They'll do it for you.
That's exactly right. Jeff Glendenning has said, does the website have a holding page saying don't feed them rubbish and never shop at Iceland? There you go. That's Glef. Now, Jeff, right, we've got business to do before we go. FUBAR Radio is the UK's largest ad-free, unregulated radio network. It's the radio home of Katie Price. She can say whatever she wants on FUBAR Radio. Even your story with the sun, which you're forced to leave things out, which you've talked about on the radio today. Yeah. FUBAR stands for... fucked up beyond all recognition. So yeah. We need to select the most FUBAR celebrity of the day.
What okay,
the most
are you
fucked
me?
Up beyond all recognition celebrity of the day. It's not meant to be harsh. We're just having a bit of fun. We actually love everybody. We're all about love.
But it sounds harsh the way you say it.
It sounds harsh, but we will have FUBAR, the FUBAR celebrity of the day, as nominated by young Katie Price. I've got three options for you today.
And these aren't my options, by the way. Mark has.
I have presented them. If you're uncomfortable with any of the nominations, let me know.
But
here we go.
One.
Tony Blair has, it was suggested that he was worth £100 million, and he has crushed that rumour and said he's only worth £20 million. And
only.
The headline is, I know, the headline of Mirror, Tony moans, I'm not even worth £20 million. So Tony Blair and his millions, is he the most FUBAR celebrity of the day? Only, poor him, only worth £20 million. Kanye West... one of the richest artists in the world, married to one of the most beautiful women in the world, Kim Kardashian. They've just had an incredible wedding, but he's not happy. He's revealed he spent his speech at the wedding raging that celebrities are treated like blacks in the 60s. He just said, I talked about celebrities having no rights and the fact that you are just a piece of meat. He's not happy about how celebrities are treated. He's one of the richest artists in the world. Is that very FUBAR? A friend of mine went to his gig recently. And he actually, rather than rapped, just had a rant about celebrity culture. And the third one is Katy Perry, dressed all in green, looking basically like Orville, or the other option would be Kermit the Frog. But green dress, green hat.
But one is Katy Perry, she's fine because she's quite, you know, quirky what she wears. It's got to be out of Tony and Kanye. They're both as bad as each other, what they're saying. But I'd have to say probably Tony Blair, because he shouldn't really be in a position to talk about money, this and that, when he should be sorting out the bloody country.
There you go. Well said. Katie Price, the official FUBAR celebrity of the day, the most fucked up beyond all recognition celebrity of the day, is Tony Blair. I think there'll be a lot of people cheering to that one. It's FUBAR Radio. It's been incredible. And unless you have a baby, I'll see you in a week's
time.
I'll
be here next week.
Amy Childs, Joey Pett. No, who's next, producer Talia? I've gone mad.
Jared Christmas.
Oh, I'm just... Do you know what? You know what? In a certain light, he looks like Amy. Who knew?
If Amy was there, she can fajazzle me.
Now you're talking. It's FUBAR, and we'll see you. I'm back tomorrow. Katie Price back in a week's time.